And welcome back, wrestling fans, for the finals of the 2009 IHSAA State Finals. I am Nathan Strack, alongside Blaine Culp. We are here, and we are getting finished with the face-offs. Blaine, what are we expecting tonight?
Right now, we're finishing the 171 face-offs. We have quite a few freshmen in the face-off tonight, so this is going to be kind of interesting to see. I know we have one at 152, then obviously the freshman at 103. We have a freshman at 25 with Jason Searches. And I believe that's our last one. I'm looking for all three of those to possibly get a state championship today.
And I'll tell you what, something that goes along with that, Blaine, is as soon as somebody starts talking freshman state champions, undefeated state champions, as a freshman, you know, the rumors just start flying, the conspiracy theorists are out looking for the four-time state champions. I think today, though, you got to keep focused at that level and just, you know, take it one match at a time.
I think this Key Rose, I think he's done that. He's been one of the most exciting wrestlers of the tournament. He's got a tough task in Sean McMurray of Portage, which obviously McMurray is the favorite, but he cannot overlook Key Rose.
Well, let's go ahead and run these down, Blaine. At 103, we're going to start with Franklin Community sophomore Dusty Keefe. He's 43-5 on the year. He's going to be going against Union County's Cody Phillips. Phillips is a freshman, 48-0 on the season.
At 112, we have Josh Keeper, a 44-4 sophomore from Roncalli. He will be wrestling Anthony Hawkins, a 41-0 junior from Crown Point.
And at 119 pounds, it's going to be the rubber match in the state championship finals as Anderson Highlands' Cameron Eppert, the senior at 38-4, takes on Indianapolis Cathedral's Brandon Wright. Wright is a junior at 48-2, and like we said before, they've met the last 2 years in the state finals, and this is just going to be tremendous.
At 125, we have Jason Searches, a 39-2 freshman from Crown Point. He'll be wrestling John Gray, 44-4 senior from Indianapolis Cathedral.
At 130 pounds, it's Pikes, DeMarcus Spencer. The senior is 40-3 on the year. He's going to be facing Hobart's Frankie Porras, a 39-1 junior.
At 135, we have Taylor March, a 38-1 senior from East Noble, taking on undefeated senior Mitchell Ritchie of Brown County.
At 140 pounds, it's going to be the junior Ryan Stahl for Elkhart Memorial at 42-2, taking on Mishawaka's Steven Sandifer. Sandifer, 43-1 senior.
At 145, we have Daniel Young, 47-0 senior from Culver Academy, taking on Gavin McGinley, 33-4 senior from Indianapolis Cathedral.
Moving on to 152 pounds, that'll have the matchup between Chesterton's Anthony Keyrose. He's the freshman going with a 37-11 record, going against Portage Sean McMurray. McMurray a perfect 48-0 in this, his junior campaign.
In a battle of unbeatens at 160, we have Briar Runyon, 42-0 senior from Martinsville, wrestling Matt Todd, 46-0 senior from Pendleton Heights.
And at 71, we go from unbeatens to once beatens as Bryce Grimes from Lawrence North at 46-1. The senior will be facing Union County's Michael Duckworth, a 47-1 junior.
At 189, we have Marcus Shrewsbury, 41-0 senior from Crown Point, wrestling Drew Graber, 43-0 senior from Northridge. And both of those guys are runner-ups from a year ago.
And in the 215-pound match, it's going to be Mishawaka's Christian Lentz. Lentz is a 43-3 junior, and he's going to be going against a senior from Belmont, Billy Baker, a perfect 41-0.
And the big boys in 285, possibly the most anticipated match. Alex White, 53-1 senior from Mount Vernon, wrestles Adam Chalfont, 38-0 senior from Winchester.
And as they're getting done introducing the heavies here, Blaine, any matches in particular that stand out to you in particular?
Obviously, we can't wait for the rubber match between the 119, the Wright and Everett match. We got McMurray and Keyrose. And then, obviously, the 215s are going to be great, 160, 189.
Yeah, it's hard to pick one. And if I had to pick one, I'd probably say it's going to be Richie and March at 35. That's going to be the match, personally, I'm going to be looking forward to. But again, it's trying to, you know, pick your you know, it's a pick 'em at this point. They're all going to be great.
I think to outdo you here, I think you got to go with all 14 matches. I think they're all going to be great. This is what we build up for all season long, wrestle underneath the lights right here at Conseco Fieldhouse.
And I'll tell you what, Blaine, we just want to thank everybody that's tuned in on BroadcastSports.net for joining us for the state finals. We're going to try to be bringing the action as accurately as possible. And they're going to go ahead and start introducing Adam Chaffont. And Chaffont, Blaine, you know, he's gigantic.
Yeah, I mentioned to someone earlier that this is Chaffont. We all know he's a big guy. You would almost compare him to Ivan Drago from Rocky IV, wrestling Alex White here from Mount Vernon, who's a very, very good heavyweight, even though he don't have the physical stature of Chaffont. He was very dangerous to wrestle.
And White, if I'm not mistaken, moved up from 171 last year to be at heavyweight. Is that correct? Because if you watch him wrestle, he wrestles just about like a 71-pounder, very aggressive on his feet. And so these guys at heavyweight, Blaine, I think is going to be a catch-as-catch-can at 285 because they both wrestle like lighter guys. And we're going to go here and tune in and get ready for the national anthem.
For the attendance so far, the first session on Friday night had just under 9,000. We were at 8,900, and Saturday morning had 8,100. And right now, I can't find an open seat on the lower level. Can you?
Please direct your attention to the spotlight. Rise and remove your hats from the presentation of our national and state flags.
And now we're getting ready for the national anthem.
For the singing of our national anthem. Are presented tonight by North Central High School Army Junior ROTC Battalion. Cadet Command Sergeant Major Kyle Lewis commands the color guard. Cadet Lieutenant Colonel Sam Hermes carries the national flag. Cadet Staff Sergeant Garrett Duke carries the flag of the state of Indiana. And Cadet First Lieutenant Gabriel Broderick and Cadet First Sergeant Ethan Robinson are the rifle bearers. Ladies and gentlemen, singing the national anthem tonight are Rachel and Rayanna Bibbs, who are twin sisters, members of the track team, and sophomores at Cardinal Ritter High School here in Indianapolis. Ladies and gentlemen, Rachel and Rayanna Bibbs.
And a sturdy rendition of the national anthem. Blaine, I tell you what, like you said before, you look around and there is not a seat to be had on the lower second level. This is almost a sellout.
I think these numbers are definitely higher than they were Friday night.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. You're probably looking at 12, 13,000 people, and bar none, no better state finals in the nation.
Definitely, definitely.
And we're going to go ahead and get set for our first match at 103 pounds. Cody Phillips from Union County. He's a freshman, 48-0 on the season, 28 falls. He's from the Newcastle Sub-State. He's going to be going against
Dusty Key from Franklin Community. He's coached by Bob Hassman and Matt Krulik. He's a sophomore, 43-5 with 20 falls on the season. And that will lead us into the 103-pound match that we are getting ready for.
And you know that the Butters boys have got to be rumbling for Cody Phillips. This, obviously, his biggest stage he's ever been on. And to be going out first, what do you think, Blaine? Is that to his advantage to be going out first? You know, does he have to sit and watch everybody? Or is it a disadvantage, you know, getting starstruck?
I think being little guys, they want to go first. I think that's just the way it is. So it looks like we're going here. They're checking in at the table. Again, this is Blaine Culp sitting along with Nathan Strack with BroadcastSport.net.
Phillips coming out. He's in the red and blue singlet. He's going to be the red wrestler. Keith, he's going to be in the silver and navy blue. He's going to be the green wrestler. Our official for this match is number 3. Who is that, Blaine? Faulkner. Michael Faulkner from Mishawaka. And as they off the whistle, they're going to go ahead and tie up. Phillips, as I've been watching him, he reminds me a lot, and I said this before, of Casey Kenny that won it last year from Jay County. Also, I mean, short, but I mean, he's put together. He's going to go ahead right off the bat.
Quick little knee tap there to get a takedown for Phillips.
Keith came in on a very ill-advised shot, led with his head. Phillips sprawled back, got in a front headlock, and a little knee tap, like you said there, Blaine. Went around, got his two. He's got double underhooks now, staying tight alongside the hips. And at this point of the match, Blaine, nobody wants to make a mistake.
No, not into. It was less than 30 seconds into the match. He got the takedown. That's tough to come back for if you're Keith. Hopefully, he keeps his head on and finishes this first period strong. As he just cut to get the escape, so now it's 2-1 in favor of Phillips.
Keith doing a great job there. Got wrist control, popped right up, hit a stand-up. Blaine, psychologically, how big is that to get the first takedown?
Now, obviously, the guy with the first takedown usually wins 90% of the match. So let's see if Keith can come back and battle back.
Phillips looks like he was favoring his left hand there a little bit. I can see he's got some tape there on his middle finger and ring finger. Not quite sure what the injury is all about, but I doubt that's going to be affected.
You got a very high nice. C. Just finished it. That was Phillips to his back. Phillips takes Keith to his back, sorry.
And Phillips is going to go ahead, puts a nice little tilt on him. He's going to get some near fall, 2-2 as a matter of fact. So he's going to move his score to 6-1 with 30 seconds left to go in the first period here at 103 pounds. Keith stands back up. Phillips goes ahead and cuts him. Keith back in on another shot. His head was down again, Blaine, and Phillips hit the same move he did before.
Quick, and he's on his, no, not quite. Almost had him on his back, as did Phillips.
But he did quickly get the two for the takedown, but Phillips is back out front in his front headlock. 10 seconds to go near the edge of the match, and they're going to go out of bounds.
So Keith is still down with 8 seconds. We're going to try to get an escape or some kind of point here with 8 seconds to go.
And I think what Keith needs to do is just kind of keep this match close. It's starting to get a little out of hand, and just remember that it's only the first period. Got a lot of wrestling left to do here as he hits a switch right off the whistle. A lot of wrestling left here to do, Blaine.
Yeah, as we end the first period here, it's 8-2 in favor of Phillips of Union County.
Ladies and gentlemen, as is customary,
and he is a freshman.
Phillips has choice. He defers. Keith is going to go ahead and choose down. Again, 8-2 the score here as we start the second period at 103 pounds. Phillips mounts from the right side as he goes. Keith hits a stand-up.
Deep call here for Phillips.
And Phillips here really just needs to wrestle a smart match, Blaine. He's up 6.
Like Keith stands up and faces him, gets one escape.
They're in a head and arm tie up. And from that collar tie, it looks like Phillips is going to go ahead and snap down, work off his front headlock. Keith back to his feet, looking for an arm drag. Almost gets to the side. Right on the edge of the mat. And they're going to go ahead and get reset in the center.
We got a score of 8-3 with a minute 20 to go.
Keith adjusted his headgear as we get back set. Phillips doing a great job of being aggressive again. Hits just a nice high C and right to his back. Keith is in trouble. As you hear the crowd come alive here. A minute left to go. That's a long time.
There's the pinfall.
And there is the fall.
Union County gets their first state champion 2009.
49-0, and this is freshman campaign for Union County's Cody Phillips. That's amazing.
Holding up the UC on his singlet.
And it just looked like Keith was in the, he was a little starstruck there, Blaine.
No, I think it was more Phillips came out and just pretty much put it to him. He wanted it, and he showed it.
I might have to tend to agree with you on that one.
Introducing from Ron Cully High School.
At 112 pounds, it's going to be the Crown Point Bulldogs, Anthony Hawkins. He's coached by Scott Blink. And assistant coach Jake Rodriguez, this 41-0 junior, is from the Maryville Semi-State.
Wrestling Josh Keeper of the Rebels of Roncalli, coached by legendary Lance Ellis and Robert Miller. He is a sophomore, 44-4, and he is from the Newcastle Semi-State.
This is going to be tremendous. Kiefer, one of two Kiefer brothers. Younger brother was in action here earlier on today. So he's got a great practice partner in the room every day. As we get set here, Hawkins is in the red Crown Point singlet. Kiefer's going to be in the blue, red, and white Roncalli singlet. Kiefer is the green wrestler. Hawkins is the red wrestler. And as they get underway here, Hawkins quickly into a front headlock. Back to their feet. Kiefer trying to fight the hands away. Hawkins trying to keep him in bounds. Getting close to the edge. And they're going to go ahead and start over.
We got a scoreless first period here with a minute 30 to go.
Kiefer in on a shot. Hawkins comes back into that front headlock. He's a little deep with his elbow. Kiefer, he tried to shuck him by, as did Hawkins, but Kiefer stopped it. They're both back up to their feet.
That's the second shot here by Kiefer that's been from a little bit distance. I mean, open shots that haven't really been able to get past the defense of Hawkins.
And for some of these guys, Blaine, you know, it just might be a feeling out stage for Kiefer, trying to get his rhythm, getting some of the butterflies out just by going out there, hitting a shot as Kiefer is back in on his third shot. Hawkins again out into that front headlock. Kiefer back up to his feet, fighting the hands. Hawkins trying to come to the corner, right next to the edge of the mat. Hawkins snaps again, looking to go around behind. And they're going to go ahead and head out of bounds, get reset.
We got a scoreless first period still with 41 seconds remaining.
Coach Lance Ellis already getting on Kiefer's case a little bit to get in there and take some better shots, encouraging. Hawkins looks like he's just going to be content here to be a little defensive in this first period, not make any mistakes. As there he's in on his first shot, head was down to the center there. Kiefer back in on a reshot. Hawkins back down into his front headlock. Both the gentlemen on their knees. Kiefer back up to his feet now. 15 seconds. Hawkins looks for a knee bump. Nothing doing. And they're going to go ahead and head out of bounds.
And again, it is still scoreless with 13 seconds remaining. How important is the first point here?
Tremendously. I think it speaks volumes. You get the first point, you know, you get the proverbial monkey off your back, and then you're able to just go out there and wrestle a little bit more loosely. 5 seconds to go here in the first period, 112 pounds.
And then also, if these guys were happen to go into sudden death overtime, the guy who scores first will get his choice of top or bottom.
It is Hawkins' choice first. Official checking, maybe for some blood. It is Hawkins' choice. He doesn't waste any time. He's going to go ahead and choose down. Wisely, I might add, Blaine.
Again, that's so he can try and score first, try to get an escape. So if you do happen to go into sudden death overtime, you'll have a chance to score first, get your choice.
I'll tell you, Blaine, how comforting could it be to Hawkins, though, to have a few of his other buddies back there from Crown Point going to be going ahead and looking for a state title themselves?
Actually, speaking of Crown Point right now, they are leading the team trophy here, the IHSWCA.
Coach's trophy.
Yes, the coach's trophy. Crown Point is leading it with Indianapolis Cathedral in second, Mishawaka third, Lawrence North fourth, and Anderson Highland fifth.
And off the whistle, Hawkins comes out. They're going to go ahead and go out of bounds. Get reset. 12 seconds gone off the whistle in the second period. Still scoreless. And Hawkins hits a stands up. Going to turn in, get his one. We are back to neutral. And both guys really a little tentative about getting in there and mixing it up. Still probably good 2 or 3 feet between them, Blaine.
Neither one of them really touched each other until they've been taking open shots. There's a nice reshot by Kiefer.
Again, still in the feeling out stage. For some guys, you know, they can get right after it, and some guys are both ready well off the whistle. But I think in the case here, we just have a couple guys looking to feel each other out, not willing to really make a mistake early on. But going to go out of bounds. 47 seconds gone here in the second period.
Score is 1-0 in favor of Hawkins.
And right off the whistle, Kiefer with a nice low single. Unable, nothing doing there. But caught Hawkins a bit off guard. They're back up. Hawkins in a front headlock on their feet, looking to snap.
Tried a nice inside trip there. Just barely missed Kiefer's foot.
Ask Casey Kenny about that inside trip. He got in trouble a little bit earlier in the semis with that, but that's neither here nor there. 49 seconds left to go. Second period. Crown points Anthony Hawkins up on Ron Colley's Josh Kiefer by a 1-0 score. And as they get reset, back to the action. Not a lot of action, just some hand fighting going out there.
Again, these little guys, another open shot, this time by Hawkins of Crown Point. He's in deep, trying to circle around. Kiefer's got a wizard.
Hawkins, or excuse me, Kiefer rather, doing a good job. He has Hawkins' hand, not allowing him to limp arm and come back through.
And
good
Hawkins
defensive.
Hawkins has picked the foot up. We're now standing. Tries a reverse trip. No luck on that one.
Tries to reach back for a bump. Kiefer coming back, or excuse me, Hawkins rather, has it all the way up above his shoulder, looking for his two. 10 seconds as
nice
they come to the end of
here.
The net.
Nice scramble here by Kiefer. Way to avoid having the takedown scored on him.
And Hawkins attempts to try to hit the corner, goes to his butt, and almost gets taken down himself, but they're going to go out of bounds. 2 seconds left, a great scramble right there, and that was Robert Helm on top of the action, the official for this match, right on top of the action. I think it's a good call, Blaine.
That was a great call by the official.
And as the period winds to a close, it is Crown Point's Anthony Hawkins up 1-0 on Ron Colley's Josh Kiefer.
And a Kiefer immediately takes the bottom position.
Kiefer's going ahead. He's got set. Looks like from the video screen on top, his ankles are up.
One of three awards.
And Hawkins goes ahead, mounts from the right, and right off the whistle.
Quick escape.
Absolutely, same
seconds.
Thing. And these guys, it looks like this is going to be nip-tuck all the way through this third period as well. Kiefer got his one very quickly, as did Hawkins, and now we're back to neutral.
And again, these guys are not tying up at all. It's all open shots so far.
And not a lot of setups either. Shooting from a good distance away as they both shot at the same time. Knocked heads. Kiefer's headgear comes off. And Kiefer tries to stand over, but Hawkins has a great wizard there as they go out of bounds. Crowd looking for two. But again, Helm right on top of it. Good no call.
And again, the score is tied 1-1 in this 112-pound state championship match.
Hawkins comes set, whistles off, and again we're back underway. Here we go, Hawkins with a little more motion now on his feet. Maybe a coach said something to him, got in his ear because he's looking to force the issue a little bit. Kiefer down on one knee now, comes in for a shot, nothing doing. But again, not really moving into him. Kiefer's just moving kind of side to side. Looks like Kiefer's looking for a little bit of a Russian tie. There he goes, he has the Russian, trying to come hip to hip. Hawkins on the head. Trying to come over to his front headlock. Oh, a nice high.
Deep high C there by Kiefer. Bent it off well by Hawkins.
Oh, that was tremendous. Kiefer with the high C. Tries to hit the corner. Hawkins bumps his hips around. Gets the corner himself, and they go out of bounds.
We got one minute to go.
1 minute to go. This is gut check time here in the state finals. 1-1 is the score. Crown Point's Anthony Hawkins and Ron Colley's Josh Kiefer. Kiefer resets back to the center. Out on a wide shot. Hawkins comes over top. Hits a nice duck under.
No points yet. He's got to return him.
Close to the center of the mat.
Kiefer's fighting it. Nothing.
No!
Nothing.
Kiefer had come down and his he was on his feet and his hands. No knees had touched, though, Blaine. He came back up to his feet, and they go out of bounds. A good call?
It was questionable. The refs talked about it. They both agreed that it was a no call, no takedown. So we're back on our feet with 29 seconds.
Number 11, Bart Welch, the assistant official in this match, conferring with Helm there, and they both saw it eye to eye. So with 30 seconds left to go, here we go. And this one may come down right to the wire. Again, both guys, though, Blaine, with great duck. You know, Hawkins with a duck. Kiefer had the high C. I mean, when these guys want to be aggressive, they're both very effective.
Yeah, definitely no stalling in this match. They've both been after it. Multiple shots from each.
Kiefer in on a shot. Hawkins back up front with 5 seconds left to go. Right on the
Four,
right near the edge
three,
of the match.
Two,
Hawkins looks to his
one,
coach.
Time.
Coach kind of told him just to stay right where he was at. And here we go. First match of the day. We had no... We didn't waste any time getting to the good stuff, Blaine. Overtime here on that one.
Someone may be a takedown away from a state title.
And we've got 1 minute of overtime here.
And there
first
it is.
Point wins.
There we go. And if we were to go to the second overtime, it's going to go ahead and be 2 30-second periods with each man getting a choice to wrestle. But hopefully we won't get there. Hopefully we get the takedown. That's what I like to see. That's the way I like to see it finished. How about you, Blaine?
We go out of bounds here. 44 seconds. I would like to see a takedown, but these guys have been after it. I would almost like to see him go sudden death.
Ooh, and a false start by Kiefer right off the whistle. That's his first caution. He got away with one earlier, Blaine, I thought. I mean, he was just a shade quick on that other one that he almost had. And off the whistle, 43 seconds. Here we go.
I have a feeling we might see that one again here by the end of the period if we get to it.
We very well may see that. Kiefer now looking like he's going to push the action maybe a little bit. As he
That's
comes
our first
up.
Tie of the match.
There we go. As Kiefer tries to come over. Now they're in a ear-to-ear lockup. Oh, Kiefer hit a nice duck under.
I believe that's going to be two out of bounds. No. His foot comes down out of bounds.
That was tremendously close because he had both legs bundled.
I saw his left foot. I saw his left foot come down out of bounds. The ref had the best view. I believe I agree with this call here.
Well, you hit it right there, folks, and we're, you know, literally 10 feet away from the mat, from Matt's side here, so if that's the way Blaine Culp saw, that's good enough for me. 9 seconds left to go here. Kiefer dances back around, resets in the middle, fakes a shot, and we're going to take this one into a second overtime period.
His last one came out and never left.
And again, you know, that's one of those, if they're that close, it's almost a benefit to have a no-call. A questionable call, let him wrestle, and let him decide it out there on the mat. But you can't fault Kiefer for that one. That was a tremendous shot.
Yeah, I mean, his foot landed maybe 2 or 3 inches out of bounds.
And to start this second period, as we said before, Blaine, Hawkins scored first in the second period, so he's going to go ahead and choose down. Off the whistle, he tries to stand up. Kiefer keeps the head lever, works it back down into a chicken wing, comes off.
He's got a deep tight waist now. They go out of bounds with 19 seconds remaining in this first, I guess this would be the fifth overtime, or fifth period, first double overtime.
And again, in this second overtime, each wrestler has 30 seconds to go ahead and try and score. And even if somebody scores, it's not over, as you hear Hawkins there with an escape. So he's up 2-1 with 10 seconds left to go. But again, Blaine, they wrestled the whole minute, each 30 seconds.
They wrestled the whole 30 seconds.
So a minute
both
total.
30 seconds.
Right. And we're going to go ahead and have a blood time. Looks like Kiefer got popped in the nose there on Hawkins' shot there. And neither of these guys, I would say usually this is a great time in this second overtime for guys to catch their breath or whatnot, but neither of these guys are breathing heavy.
Yeah, neither of them look tired at all. Great shape. Been prepared well by their coaches and teammates.
Tremendous condition for both these guys, and at this point, Blaine, the adrenaline's flowing so much through both of these guys' bodies that I don't think that condition is going to be a factor. And we have another colleague from BroadcastSports.net here. We just, just saying that if you haven't got a chance, folks, to come out here and watch this down here at beautiful Conseco Fieldhouse, it is a happening. 13 or 14,000 strong, it's something to behold, huh, Blaine?
It's packed down there. I mean, everyone, when the questionable takedowns happened, this whole place erupted trying to yell two or booing the ref or something. It's loud in here. We are still on our blood time here. We're cleaning up. Blood time has been stopped. We'll have 6 seconds left in this fifth period here.
And, you know, I just got to put the bug in my ear, Blaine, that we can also, if fans listening to this broadcast, can also watch it at IHSAA.org and get a live streaming feed from them and be part of this action, as we call it. And so that's going to wrap up the first 30-second overtime period with Crown Point's Anthony Hawkins up 2-1 over Ron Colley's Josh Kiefer. Kiefer is going to go ahead, choose down to start the second period, as you would expect.
Yeah, he's going to look. I believe he had a 3-second escape last time. He's going to try and do that again, obviously.
As we got the blood time stopped here, Kiefer with a pretty flat setup off bottom, but off the whistle. Shoots
quick stand up, but he was returned by Hawkins.
Hawkins got a nice spiral ride. Now he comes up to his feet, tries to come down to a leg. And almost has the escape, looks for his reversal. This is a heck of a scramble. Hawkins grabs a leg. His Kiefer looked like he was out probably about twice there, Blaine.
Yeah, he was out twice, but Hawkins kept chasing him and was able to grab a leg a couple times.
And here's Hawkins as Kiefer tries to roll through.
They're yelling too, but he started the period on top.
Kiefer tries to roll through. Hawkins comes back on top. He's going to go ahead and get the win. 2-1. 42-0 on the season. Crown Point's Anthony Hawkins. That's a great junior campaign, Blake.
Yeah, normally you wouldn't see a 2-1 double overtime match to be exciting, but that was one of the most exciting double overtime matches you'll see. No stalling. Both kids were in on multiple shots. Now that will lead us to our 119 match.
But before we go ahead and get to the 119 pounders, as Hawkins obviously jumping up on the coach there, and rightly so, we're going to go ahead and announce our 103-pound award place winners. In eighth place, it's going to be Munster's Aurelio Medina, the 46-8 sophomore. Seventh place is going to go to Crown Point's Carnernan Halstead. The freshman had a 33-10 mark on the season. Sixth place, Indianapolis Cathedral's Brian Harvey. He was a 42-11 freshman. Fifth place went to Brian Kuhn from Evansville Rights, a 53-3 junior.
And fourth place, that is Zach Stevens, a 30-7 junior from Maryville. Taking third would be Kyle Ayersma, a 43-1 freshman from Lake Central. Second place is Dusty Keefe, 43-6 sophomore from Franklin Community. And our 2009 state champion is Cody Phillips, 49-0 freshman from Union County. Again, that is 103 pounds, 2009 state champion.
And if I butcher any of these names, I apologize. We're in some low lighting. For those of you that have ever been to the state finals or are watching it on IHSAA.org, the lights are dimmed down in here pretty low, so it's kind of hard to see, but we'll do our best to get these names right. Now, Blaine, is there a good thing to being the eighth place finisher of the 103 pounds? I mean, that's the first guy to get his award, you know. That's a good way to start out. Me, myself, being in that position 1 year before.
I think that's more for you to answer than for me. I mean, you got the experience.
I'll tell you what, just being up on that podium is an honor, especially in a state where there's no class wrestling. You know, those eight gentlemen right there that we're looking at here on the video screen, they're the top wrestlers in the state of Indiana, bar none.
This will lead us into the highly contested 119-pound weight class. We got the third match between these guys under the lights. Each of them have won one title apiece against each other. We'll start with Camden Eppert, Anderson Highland Scotts. He is a senior. He's coached by Maurice Swain and his brother Brady Eppert. He is 38-4 on the year, and he came from the Newcastle semi-state.
He's going to be going against Cathedral's Brandon Wright. The 48-2 junior is a three-time sectional champ, two-time regional champ, three-time semi-state champ, three-time qualifier, three-time place winner, and a one-time state champion. Like we said, Blaine, this is the rubber match. And personally, when I came in here today, or came in here yesterday, rather, you know, this is the match that I wanted to see under the lights.
And I think that almost everybody here is wanting to watch this match.
And as it's going to be Eppert in the he's going to be the green wrestler in the red Highland singlet. Wright is going to be in the golden green Cathedral singlet. He will be the red wrestler. And as we're going to go ahead and get underway here, tying up, working ahead is Eppert. And Eppert, both these guys, if I'm going to give, strength to somebody, I may have to give it to Eppert, but speed, I may have to give it to Wright. How do you see it, Blaine?
Actually, I would give the power, the strength to Wright and the speed, but obviously Eppert's a lot taller, gets a lot of leverage, very technical sound.
6-1, half a dozen of another. As we have 30 seconds gone here in this 19-pound championship match, Wright working in, snaps ahead, comes in on a shot, nothing doing. Eppert on a nice outside single, has the toe. The official
spin out there.
The official Bart Welch from Carmel, right on top
Eppert's,
of it.
Eppert's driving over, trying to roll him under here.
Wright's done a great job, sprawled back, has his weight right down on top of Camden. Camden trying to pull it in, and if he doesn't improve here soon, we're looking at a stalemate. And there we go. Good call on the official. Going to get him restarted.
We're still scoreless here in the first period. We have 57 seconds remaining. Again, this is the 119-pound championship.
Ooh, right on a low slingle. Eppert sprawls away. Now Eppert in on a shot of his own. Inside step. Comes through. Right on top. In a front headlock. Some hand fighting going on down there. Wright trying to work around. Steps over the back ankle. Eppert faces him again. Wright doing a great job trying to step over, trying to clear the hands. Eppert trying to get back to his feet. The official taking a closer look. Wright with a knee slide tries to come in. And Eppert's back to his feet. And they're going to go ahead and head out of bounds. 17 seconds left to go here in the first period. Still scoreless at this, the championship match at 119 pounds. But Blaine, you know, if you've seen guys, it's hard enough to beat a guy after you've seen him once or twice, but how about two or three times in the state championship finals?
Every year they wrestle. I believe it's the regionals. I'm not positive. I know that they wrestle in the semi-state. I'm sure that they go back and forth.
Exactly. And so, each time it gets harder and harder to beat a guy. As we wind down there, the first period, it's going to be Camden Eppert's choice. Eppert is going to go down. Wright almost had a nice little takedown there at the end, but Eppert was able to wizard it off as time expired. Both of these guys, though, in phenomenal shape. Off the whistle. Eppert looks to turn in, looks for a switch. Wright bundles the legs, tries to stand back over. Lacing the near ankle. Comes down to the ankle for an ankle pick. And Wright's just going to be content with letting him go. So that's going to be 1-0 in favor of Highlands' Cameron Eppert. Camden looking, working the head. Snapping. Out on the right side of the mat to us here. Oh, almost comes with a little underhook throw by as they go out of bounds. But Blaine, these guys so quick. It may look like they're just standing there stationary, but next thing you know, you turn around and you've missed a flurry of action.
Yeah, just like right there, Eppert hits a nice single leg, but Wright catches it so fast that he sprawls without ever touching him.
Eppert with a Russian tie gets rid of that. Back forehead to forehead, hand fighting. Wright trying to drive him. Wright in his own shot, nothing doing. Back up to his feet, another shot. Eppert on the outside single. He's gotten pretty deep with that outside single, Blaine.
He's got it a couple times here, and Wright's fended it off successfully every time.
Do you anticipate this one as we have a minute to go here in the second period and halfway done, Blaine, and not a lot of action so far? Is this another potential match for some overtime action?
Having these guys, this is their third time here, I would like to see a sudden death overtime just to end the feud here.
It would only be fitting.
Yep.
Well, now, is that raise a case for it was just the better guy on today, or, if...
Luck of the draw?
Do you want to make a statement here and really put this one out of reach and say, I'm the better guy, my two state championships mean more than your one? 40 seconds left to go here in the second period. Anderson Highlands, Camden Eppert still leading Indianapolis Cathedral's Brandon Wright by a score of 1-0 as they're still tied up here in the center of the mat. Ooh, Wright in on a nice double leg. Eppert sprawls right back up to their feet. 20 seconds left, and there's
outside
that outside single again. And he's deep this time, Blaine. He's got it locked up, trying to work up.
Wright's got a tight whizzer here.
Trying to break the lock apart here.
Yep.
And Eppert really needs to turn around and come around behind and elevate the leg to immobilize and put that weight on that right side of Wright. But Wright back to his feet. Nice job. He's back to his feet. And time's going to wind down here in the second period. still Eppert leading 1-0. And again, this IHSAA state finals being brought to you here by BroadcastSports.net. And I just have some information here. As earlier on in the year, it was Wright from Cathedral besting Eppert by a 4-3 score. So Wright getting the better of the exchange the first meeting this year for him. So as we start the third period, it's going to be Wright with his choice. He hits a stand-up. Eppert hops right back on. Now, Blaine, have you contacted the Ancient Elder yet? Have we ever had two wrestlers meet three times in the state finals before?
Actually, I haven't seen the Ancient Elder run around here yet.
Well, that'd be a great question for him if he's listening.
Someone post that on IndianaMat.com now.
That's a question I have. As Wright tries to hit a Granby roll coming out off the whistle, Eppert has both legs in, peeling the hands, trying to break him down. Really needs to throw his hips in for that to be effective, though, Blaine. And as Wright stands up. The official here is going to restart him. And the officiating, Blaine, down here has been good, as good as I've seen down here at the state finals.
The 112-pound match had a couple controversial calls, but I'm going to have to go with their calls. I thought they made right calls there.
I thought they were right ones, and that's the toughest thing. Here's another good call. In my mind, Blaine, off the whistle, Wright tries to stand up. Eppert hops up on top, tries to throw the leg in, and the official hitting him with a stalling call. Good call.
The first time Wright stood up and the legs were already in. The second time, Eppert threw him in as he was already standing. So
maybe not. So maybe another. So maybe give him one more. Give him a caution on that one, and maybe the next time you hit him.
So the top man didn't bring out the stalemate the first time.
And I assume the official's rationale there is that he's purposely trying to stop the action by throwing the leg right in and coming up on top, putting himself in the potentially dangerous situation. Notwithstanding, a little bit of beef there by the official from Highland. We're going to get reset with a minute 30 to go here in the third period. Eppert has the leg right in. Going to be coming up. Wright doing a good job. Comes down to the ankle. Get his hips high. Trying to come around. Look for the reversal. Nothing doing. Eppert back on top. Has good wrist control. Doing a good job standing around behind. And Wright's going to go
roll
ahead.
Right out of bounds.
And I think that's a smart move on Wright's part.
Trying to go back to the center. Get a fresh start. He's got a minute 9 here. He's down 1-0. Again, Camden Eppert leads 1-0 over Brandon Wright.
And again, Blaine, like we mentioned before, these guys have probably seen each other so many times that, you know, they already know what the other one's going to do it before he does it. So you just got to look to hold on and maybe get a 1-0 win. And there Eppert had the leg right again, and then he stands up. So we're going to get reset, and it looks like Wright might have tweaked his knee.
We got injury time for his knee, yep.
So it looks like he twisted his knee as he was coming up. Eppert really, you know, trying to come down when he had that leg ride, was not able to get up. And the trainers are out there. And again, a compliment to this tournament, how well this tournament has ran, Blaine. The trainers have been phenomenal. I was down on the mat earlier with a couple of my wrestlers. Anytime there's a bloody nose, a twisted finger, you know, the trainers are tremendous right out. You know, you got two or three trainers out there to check on the kids and, you know, keeping the wrestlers and the athletes' safety in mind first.
Speaking of trainers, the 152-pounder for Princeton got dropped on his head earlier today. And before the match was even stopped, there was two trainers running out to the mat, to the wrestler, because he had already laid flat.
And that's just a testament to the professionals that we have here, watching out for the safety of these wrestlers. As it looks like Wright is going to be okay, we're going to get back underway. A minute left to go in this 119-pound championship match. Like we said before, the rubber match for these two. Cameron Eppert still on top, leading Cathedral's Brandon Wright. Wright again stands up with the leg ride. And now you hear some fans maybe looking for that stalling call.
I'm not sure. The official's not being very consistent here. That's the fourth time that we've had that break for legs being in and Brandon Wright standing up.
When I think the one time he did stand up, it was the leg ride was already in, and the one time he got hit for it, he came and he put him in while he was coming up. And I think there was the difference in where that was call was made. As regardless, 44 seconds again, but Blaine, I don't think he's going to be able to get away with it much longer.
No, he's going to have to try something else. I think we're going to get another stalling call if he does that a couple more times.
And off the whistle, Eppert goes down to his ankle, trying to work up. He's still on the ankle, been on that ankle for a good 10 seconds already. There he goes ahead and works up.
Granby.
Wright tries to roll out of it. Now he's trying to get his hips up. Eppert looks like he's in trouble, brings his hips on top. Able to stay on top in the scramble. Throws the legs in, and they go careening out of bounds.
That was a nice flurry there by both wrestlers.
And you can hear the fans applauding the wrestling that's just taking place. I mean, both of these guys doing a tremendous job.
We got 19 seconds left in this 119-pound state championship match. The score is 1-0, Camden Eppert.
We get reset off the whistle. Eppert comes down to the ankle.
As Wright tries to switch here, he's very close. All he's got to do is get his leg over.
Eppert still
stalling. That's 1 point.
And there he's been on the ankle for 5 seconds.
That tied the match up.
Good call, Blaine.
I don't agree with that call. I've agreed with the refs all day. This one I don't know if I can agree with. Both wrestlers are working.
But he's on the ankle, Blaine. What's your rationale?
There's not much he could do. They were kind of in a
scramble position. Yeah. I think I agree with you. I think that had he just been on the ankle and riding it, that's one thing. But once Wright turns in, he's got to try to work up to position. He's just trying to improve his position.
We got seven seconds left here. Brandon Wright is still down, but the score is now tied 1-1.
Needless to say, Blaine, the fans here at Conseco did not agree with the call. And off the whistle, Wright trying to come
here's
up.
The exact same situation.
And there's Eppert turning in, has the ankle, comes up, and time's going to expire. And again, the fans letting them know about their displeasure. Again, in the first two out of three matches, we're in overtime. Here we go. Eppert backing up. Brandon Wright bringing it right to him. Eppert trying to back out.
Eppert
there's Wright.
Can't get by stalling again, or he'll lose. He backed up straight to the
edge. Eppert shoots in on another on outside single. Get
he's
reset.
Backing up again.
And I don't think you're going to see a there's stalling a call to win a state championship.
Shot by Eppert. A deep single.
Almost able to hit it. Eppert now around the waist. Wright pummels in, comes underneath.
And Wright backed out there.
And I'm not sure what the fans are upset about on that one. I mean, they're just wrestling. And off the whistle, Eppert on the outside single. 30 seconds to go. If he can just work it up, he may have the takedown. Works up to his feet, turns in.
Tremendous defense so far by Wright.
Wright fighting it off, a tremendous whizzer.
We got 20 seconds left.
There, Eppert turns in, almost has him down.
Out.
It's like trying to take you down in practice, Blaine. The hips always pop back up.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
And then Wright turns in, 10 seconds left.
Both wrestlers have each other's legs. It's kind of probably a stalemate coming.
4, 3, and as time winds down, we're going to be going to another overtime. A great scramble, but an even better job by Wright, Blaine, to get his hips out.
Eppert was in so deep. I don't know how Wright fought that off.
And looks like maybe Eppert needs to blow his nose there. He's got a little blockage there. But now you can see Blaine, both these guys breathing pretty heavily. That exchange, the last
that,
couple
that
of exchanges
one minute there was,
took it out of them.
That whole minute was
well, because I think, you know,
there.
Wright had a lot of confidence coming into that overtime after just getting the stalling call, was able to come back and really put the pressure on Eppert that time. But, you know, you got to give it to Eppert, though, for, you know, coming right back and dishing it back out to him.
Now Wright has the task of trying to ride Camden Eppert here.
Yeah, Eppert got out in about the first 3 seconds when he was down. He scored the first point, so he had choice. He went ahead and chose down.
He stands down on an ankle now for Wright.
Stands up, turns in. Trying to get a reversal here on Wright. Nothing doing. Eppert brings his hips out. Has his reversal. He's going to go ahead 3-1. 15 seconds left
Wright,
to go.
Wright has got to try to score here. He has got to get an escape.
Absolutely, Blaine. Being down 2 points, if he can get an escape here and then go down and get another one, he could send this to potentially.
He was rode for 2 minutes in the third period.
So here we go. 14 seconds left to go here in this, the first of the second overtimes. Wright again tries to roll out in that Granby series, but Eppert on him like glue. Hips are still tight. He's got a deep claw in on the far shoulder. 2 seconds.
Now it's Wright's turn to go down. We'll see what he got. He's down 3-1.
And you can see Camden Eppert knowing that he is just 30 seconds away looking over his coach, and his coach is just telling him, be smart.
He's rode him for a good 2 minutes and 15 seconds. He's got to do another 30. or at least not give up 2 points here.
And can you imagine folks being 30 seconds away from a state championship?
Looks like he's going to get one here.
As we start, there it is.
We need a takedown by Wright.
Wright hits a stand-up and turns in, gets one. Eppert in on a shot.
Eppert backing out.
Wright pushing him back, and I don't think you're going to get another stalling call here.
I don't think we're going to see a stalling call either.
With 18 seconds left, I think it's pretty safe. And Wright coming right into Eppert. Eppert.
I think we're going to see one.
We may, because he's backing up.
He's backing up good.
And there he takes a shot.
He takes a shot.
5 seconds left to go. Eppert backs up.
He just backed right out. That could be a fleeing the mat.
That could be that. And that's what I talked with an official earlier. If you can't hit it for stalling, hit it with
a
technical violation.
I see a quick shot here by Wright. Or by Eppert.
And there's a caution on by Wright, rather. Jumps the gun. And here we go. 3 seconds. Eppert in on a nice outside single.
Eppert wins it. 3-2. Double overtime. And Eppert also shows the big H on his singlet.
That seems to be the in vogue thing to do lately. And again, he bests 2 out of 3 in the state finals match. And that's going to go to Anderson Highlands. Cameron Eppert, who is going to leave here today, 39-4. And more gold to put on the trophy mantle, Blaine.
I'll tell you what, that was a great match. That was a great match to follow the 112. This match, the 125 is going to be got a tough match to follow there.
And folks, you know, like I said before, if you haven't been able to make it down here for the Indiana State Finals, it is a happening. Please treat yourself to it sometime. At 112-pound place finishers. And eighth place is going to be Delphi senior Robert Floyd. He finishes 20-7 on the year. Seventh place is going to go to Martinsville's Derek Fisher, the junior who finished 38-5. Sixth place is going to Lebanon's Josh Julian. He is a 35-7 sophomore. Fifth place is going to go to Newcastle's Connor Mullins. The freshman had an impressive 52-4 year, and only going to get better for him.
In fourth place was Alex Gregory, 34-7 sophomore from Penn. Third was Brandon Nelson, 40-3 junior from Lawrence North. And bringing the runner-up position was Josh Kiefer, 44-5 sophomore from Roncalli. And your 2009 Indiana State High School Wrestling State Champion at 112 pounds was Anthony Hawkins, 42-0 junior from Crown Point. That'll bring us into 125 with Jason Surchis of the Crown Point Bulldogs. Coached by Scott Blink. He is a freshman with the 39-2 record, and he's from the Maryville Semi-State.
And he is going to be going against, from Indianapolis Cathedral, Jonathan Gray. The senior is 44-4 on the year. Very impressive. These two are gonna get after him. You could tell both these guys. I don't know if I've seen two more intense gentlemen come out here so far tonight. It looks as though as Gray is just staring a hole right through Surtsis. Look at that glare, Blaine. Would you like to be on the other end of that glare?
Well, looks like Surtsis is giving the same glare back. So.
No love lost between these two hairs. We're going to get underway here at 125 pounds, and I'm going to say that these boys are a little beefier than even you were at 25, Blaine.
Well, that's very possible.
And off the whistle, Surtsis is going to go ahead, works into the front headlock. Greg looking for something, nothing doing. They go out of bounds. Reset. Our official for this match is going to be the 12th official out of the field to
must
round
be
it out.
Andy Wood.
Surtsis. Looks to hit a duck under. Nothing happening. Gray comes back with a high C shot of his own. Nothing. And Surtsis, obviously the younger brother of Griffith standout Alex Surtsis, wrestling for Crown Point now. And, you know, looks like Alex has taught his younger brother well.
Yeah, I definitely have to say that. He's coming out putting on a good show today. Beat Cash Kierga in the semifinals. That was a magnificent match for both of them.
And a match like that, you know, that's just got to be taxing on a kid like Surtsis. Freshman coming in here, you know, the ups and emotional downs is something to be a factor, but a minute gone, still scoreless here in this 125-pound match, and Surtsis did a nice job. He snaps, looks to go behind, then he comes around behind, hits a double. Now he's coming around, trying to lace the ankle as both men are on their hips, trying to come up and get the takedown. He hooks the ankle, looking to work up the body, and Gray will concede the point. So with 40 seconds left to go here in this 125-pound state championship final, it is Crown Points.
Jason Searches.
Up 2-0. Now he's got a leg right in, working Gray over, looking to turn the hip up. Potentially dangerous looking at here. The official right on top of it as he's still working the leg right. Gray trying to work out, but Searches is just relentless on top lane, rolling those wrists under, keeping great pressure down.
Yeah, he's got a leg hooked. He's pretty much taking control once he got on top. Gray hasn't been able to work up at all. He's been stuck on his belly.
And, you know, neither guy, both still looking fresh as a daisy. Gray's going to go ahead and get the option, and he will defer the choice to Searches. Jason goes ahead and chooses down to start the second period. And just look at the muscle definition of these guys, Blaine. That's impressive.
Look at the splitting image of him and Alex.
I was thinking the exact same thing as he's getting set.
He was standing right in front of us here. I mean, you could see the exact same body shape, everything.
I would say we definitely have the best seats in the house, Blaine, without a doubt. And as Searches gets out, turns right back in and looking for his takedown, he's back in his front headlock position. He's going to move his lead to 3-0. 20 seconds gone here to go in this second period. Great call by the official. He's going to start him over in that stalemate.
This is the second consecutive wrestler from Indianapolis Cathedral in the finals here.
And the second out of three for Crown Point, so, you know, the hits just keep coming. As we're minute 25 left to go here in the second period. Jason Searches for Crown Point. In the lead over Jonathan Gray from Indianapolis Cathedral. Both men in an ear-to-ear tie. Searches, made it look almost flawless as he snapped him down. And again, Blaine hit that. Just
kind of spun around that time.
And it was effortless almost. You know, he hit it the first time and went into a double. That time he just snapped him down and ran around behind.
He's already got the two gray hairs trying to kind of tuck in. I think I'd be bellying down if I were him.
Yeah, Gray looking, looking to fight it off, and Searches has that
that
opposite side leg turked up.
There, he's counting now, so he's getting near fall.
And it's right next to the edge of the mat. Fortunately, his shoulders were in. He's going to get three near fall and go up 8-0. So, and look at this, Blaine.
Jason's going to his feet here. 1-point escape for Gray.
So with 40 seconds left to go here in the third period, or excuse me, the second period, rather, he's already built an 8-0 lead. And it's one thing to win a state championship, Blaine, but it's one thing to win it in as impressive a fashion as Searches looks on to be on track for. As he goes ahead to a front headlock, goes around, puts the head in the hole, comes around, he's going to get his two, moving his lead to 10-1. Got to work up the body
again,
now.
He's got the legs all hooked up, going for another. He's got the leg turked again.
And a great job, and I could almost be positive that's a move that Alex showed him, because I just watched Alex wrestle not too long ago where he was in a, you know, whenever he gets, he does the same thing. He hooks the leg and he turks it right to the ceiling. And Gray's looking around to get his reversal, reaching around behind the leg, but his time winds down. He finds himself in a 10-1 hole here against Crown Point's Jason Searches.
It looks like Gray's going to take top.
And again, I almost have to question the methodology of Gray, because Jason was able to get out in the first 5 seconds last time, but you know, maybe Jonathan has something up his sleeve, as he's going to get set on the left side. We have a clock malfunction there, as the official goes to check it out. The assistant official for this match is going to be Mark Miller from Rochester, this being his final campaign here at the state finals. And as we get back set, Jason set again. Gray gets on top on the left. Searches sits out. Gray now in a crab ride. Some hand fighting going in there. And Searches just turns
right
around.
Nice cradle.
Hits a cradle right off the bat. And he got two near fall there, Blaine. That was impressive.
That was quick. That was within 5 seconds. He had a cradle locked up.
He turned around, lunged over, grabbed the head and the leg, and had a cradle lock up. And he moves his lead to 14-1. Searches looking over his coach. Excuse me, Gray looking over his coach there in a bit of bewilderment, you know, saying, you know, what am I going to do here? And his coach just, you know, encouraging him, telling him to keep moving. But with a minute 40 left to go in the third period here, Searches looks like he's going to be, there's blood in the water for him, Blaine.
Oh, definitely. I mean, he's following his brother. This is more impressive than his brother right now.
Yeah, this young man is just looks like he's on cruise control, you know, against a very tough individual in the state finals. As he's got, again, he's got that inside leg turked up. He figure fours the leg, comes across, looking for his cross face, trying to flatten him out. Nothing doing, his gray belly's out, but looks like Sertus might get it. Nope, going to go out of bounds. 1:07 left to go here. Jonathan Grave, Indianapolis Cathedral, still down.
Looks like Sertus chose to go back to his feet. 1 point escape for Gray.
So Sertus is going to need 2 takedowns here in the next 1:07 if he's going to look for his technical fall. But Blaine, you know, you don't want to get cocky. You know, still taking good shots.
No, I don't see Sertus getting cocky. He looked over to his coaches to ask if he could do it, if he could cut him and go back to his feet.
Yeah, not implying that he was, but you know, some guys get caught up. You know, 13, and you're just trying to put on a show for the fans here that came to watch. But yeah, no signs of that as they get reset here in the center. 50 seconds left to go. Crown points. Jason Sertus looking to hit the tech fall here in the state championship match at 125 pounds. Sertus into a front headlock, looking to snap him down. Gray shoots in, down on his knees, Sertus back up to his toes, trying to work off to the side, working now to the right side of the mat. Sertus comes around, reaches for the ankle, and they're going to go out of bounds.
24 seconds remaining in this third period here for Jason Sertus to wrap up his first state title as a freshman.
And Sertus is just like a pit bull, or a bulldog rather, as his school name would imply. Hits the super duck that his brother was famous for, but just stays on the attack the whole time. And there he goes. He's going to go.
Down. He immediately cuts him. 16-3, 7 seconds remaining.
3-16, one more takedown, and he will have it. Oh, 7 seconds, will he be able to get it? Comes down to the front headlock.
He doesn't.
Not able to get the tech ball, but nevertheless,
very
an impressive finish. As the referee is going to congratulate both gentlemen. With 2 losses on the season, Blaine, he may be another 4-timer that we have in our presence. I don't want to jump to any conclusions, but there's a bright star right there.
I think big brother Alex has a big smile on his face right now.
Somewhere in Iowa, there is a smile on brother Alex's face for sure.
Yeah, Alex wrestled at IU last night. He might be here.
And we're going to go ahead and go to our 119-pound finishers. In 8th place is going to be the Knox junior, Daniel Bradley, the finished with a 39-4 record. 7th place will be Ron Colley's Justin Kiefer. He is 46-4 on the year as a sophomore. 6th place is going to go to Yorktown's Derek Bevins. And in his junior campaign, he finishes the year at 42-4. And 5th place, and capping a stellar career, Warsaw's Justin Brooks. He finishes at 41-1.
And 4th place, it is Casey Kinney, 45-4 senior from Jay County. 3rd place is Alex Johns, 52-2 senior from Evansville Wrights. Your runner-up is Brandon Wright, 48-3 junior from Indianapolis Cathedral. And your 2009 119-pound weight class state champion, Camden Eppert, 39-4 senior from Anderson Highland.
And I'll tell you what, Blaine, is looking at Wright up there on the stand, you can tell he's obviously dejected, but that young man right there has nothing to hang his head about. A great job between him and Camden. Brandon fought it all the way.
You know, you always hate to hear this, but Wright has 1 more year. Looking to come back to get his title number 2.
There you go. Not a lot of consolation at this point. As we go ahead and we're going to move along to 130-pound finalist, which will pit Hobart's Francisco Porras. The junior is 39-1 on the year. He is coached by Steve Balish. He has a career record of 120 wins against 12 losses with 45 career falls.
And he's wrestling DeMarcus Spencer of the Pike Red Devils. He is coached by his dad, Spence Spencer, and Chuck Jewell. He is a senior at 40-3 on the year. His career record is 152-15. And he wrestled in the Newcastle semi-state last weekend.
And as we get underway here, both of these guys, nice, tall, lean figures. It looks like Spencer has arms for days, and Ross here looks like he's got a real long, lean midsection. Who do you give the edge to as far as speed goes in this one, Blaine?
Well, I've only seen Porras last year at the state finals. I've got to see Spencer a couple times this year, and he's a quick athlete.
Faster than Grease Lightning?
That's hard to beat.
we got to see him a little earlier on in the day, too, and he really is. He's an impressive athlete. Not taking anything away from Frankie Porras, but, you know, Spencer is the real deal here. And with a minute 10 gone here, still both guys filling each other out. Nobody having a lot of real offense, but Frankie there looking to just be content to shove Spencer out. They're going to go ahead and get reset. Pretty close height-wise. Spencer may have a couple inches on him, but these guys are put together fairly well for 30-pounders. Pretty tall, I would say, in their respective weight classes. Porras looks... He looked for almost just to reach for the outside single, Blaine, and Spencer
ended
just kind of
getting it. Yeah, he just kind of reached, and he ended up pulling it in.
Yeah, Spencer was kind of calling Porras' bluff, and Frankie just worked right up into it. Again, there he goes, getting close enough. Not like we saw the 112-pound match, Blaine, where both the guys were 2 and 3 feet apart. These guys getting in, locking right up off the get-go. And as they go out of bounds, 34 seconds left to go. Here in this, the 130-pound state championship match, still scoreless. Porras with a shot off the whistle, nothing doing. They lock back up, ear to ear. Spencer trying to pass Porras' guard, works for an underhook, nothing doing. And we're going to stop the action while he gets his headgear reset. Number 8, Mark Mailer, the official for this state final match. Going to go in, make sure everything's okay. As we get set, 20 seconds left here. Spencer, outside single, nothing doing. Has a couple double unders. Comes back into the front headlock. 5 seconds left to go. And it's going to appear that this is going to end here, this first period, in a 0-0 tie. The coin flip. Yields choice to Porras. The Bricky is going to choose down. Porras, sporting the gold and purple Hobart singlet. Spencer, in his all-red pike uniform, is the green wrestler. As we get set here, Spencer's going to mount him from the left. Porras hits the stand-up. Spencer trying for the lift. Comes through the crotch, looking for a lift. Lifts again, returns into the mat. In with a deep claw on the far side. And again, Porras straight up to his feet. Fighting
nice
the hands away.
Here.
And the official looked like he might be giving a stalling call, but he goes for the lift. Nothing doing. Lifts him again, and they're going to head out of bounds. 22 seconds gone here in this second period. Still scoreless in the 130-pound state final match. As Spencer loses an ankle band, going to get it reset here. And looks like Porras maybe breathing a little heavy down there, Blaine.
I can't tell from here, but that would be the first time we've seen that in the state finals, if he is.
Yeah, he was tested against Carroll's Brock Norton in the semifinals, but was able to get out of there with a 4-3 win, I believe, if my score is correct. I don't have my sheet.
It might have been 6-5.
I know it was a close match there, and so he was testing his match.
As was Spencer's. He defeated 3-time state champion Josh Harper of Mishawaka.
No slouch is an own right. As Porras tries to stand up here, and they're going to go out of bounds again. Porras looking for the switch, and he looks like he's getting it pretty good, but just not able to finish it, Blaine.
Spencer's doing a great job of staying behind him.
They're going to get reset, and already cautioned once was Spencer. That's going to be his second caution. And as we saw in Spencer's second round match, or his quarterfinal match, I should say, Blaine, was in danger of getting a couple false starts there against the Austin Eagle from Columbia City. But notwithstanding there, finally, Porras is going to get his stalling call. As
you have to watch it. He might get another one.
Spencer was unable to work up the body, and now Porras back down. Spencer trying to work up the body. And again, Blaine, a lot of time has not ran off the clock. Only a minute 4 remaining. So in 56 seconds, Spencer has not been able to do a good job of holding Portis down, and that's been Spencer's MO so far today. He rides very well on top. He uses those long arms to his advantage. And off the whistle again, Portis stands right up, fights the hands away. Spencer trying to drop down to his feet, but Portis holding onto his hands. And they're wisely going to go ahead, give him the escape. And that will give Hobart's Frankie Portis a 1-0 lead. And the coaches collectively gasped there as Portis came up lame, Blaine. Favoring that left knee, but he says he's okay. So they're going to go ahead and start again. They're going to go out of bounds, and it looks like Spencer kind of spun out of bounds, showing his back, and the fans didn't like it.
No, I heard a couple of boos behind us here. I think we got the Hobart fan.
The Hobart faithful are behind us. They're trying to get behind their man, encourage him on. But it looks like that's Porras' strategy. Porras the whole time, but I think, maybe just looking for the stall call. It doesn't look like he's trying too much offense.
There's a quick high C right there off the whistle.
And set him up beautifully for it.
Yeah, I think we're going to get a clean the mat here.
I don't think so. It looks like he turned, Spencer turned back in to look for that reversal.
Nope, didn't call it.
No, Mark Miller letting him wrestle here a little bit, but that was a great setup there on the part of Porras. Porras kind of went up top for the last couple starts, and then comes right out and hits that high crotch and nearly gets takedown.
Spencer's got his hands on his head right now, kind of showing signs of some fatigue.
And obviously, Porras did a great job of continually hitting that stand-up. And, Spencer tried probably five or six times to go ahead and to return him to the mat. And after the officials confer, they're going to go ahead and give him a technical violation, one for fleeing the mat. So that's going to move Porras' lead to 2-0 here with 15 seconds left to go here in this second period. Spencer coming back in. And Porras looking, has an overhook on the left arm, trying to move the head away. Spencer comes in with an underhook of his own as they go to bounds. 3 seconds left to go here in this 130-pound final. Hobart's Frankie Porras leading Pikes Spencer by a 2-0 score.
Looks like Spencer takes bottom right away. No questions asked on that one.
And DeMarcus, he needed to there. Spencer's down two. He needs to get his escape and hopefully look for his takedown. Are you surprised, Blaine, the way that DeMarcus has been wrestling and controlling most of his guys on top? Had that much problem?
He's actually had control here. He just hasn't been able to return for us, and that's why he's got the stalling call.
And off the whistle here, Frankie does a great job of stopping DeMarcus Spencer's first move. Spencer down, head on the mat, trying to work his hands away. Frankie's doing a great job with that tight waist. Goes into a head lever. Looking to sit through to a half. Nothing doing. He keeps the arm trapped. Going to work into a chicken wing. Entitles him to give that up. Still, Spencer not able to work to his base. Spencer's going to get hit with a stalling call here again. This is his first stalling call. His second penalty point of the match. So that's going to move Porras' lead to 3-0, Blaine. And that may be a vital, vital blow right there.
It looks like Spencer's keeping his head on the mat. It almost looks like he's kind of dejected right now. He might have the wind knocked out of his sails.
Saying he might be packing this thing in early?
It's possible. He's not showing any signs of fight right now. I hope not, but what it looks like right now.
With 55 seconds left to go here in this 30-pound championship match, it's still Frankie Porras from Hobart in a commanding 3-0 lead.
This is a tough one to come back from.
As we can hear again, the Hobart faithful getting behind him here. And Porras doing a great job of staying busy on top. He's working off to each side of the hips. Not going to get a stalling call, it looks like. As Spencer finally works up to his feet, Porras does a great job, drops the ankle, and charges him out of bounds. 29 seconds left to go. Hobart's Porras still up 3-0. Spencer is really sucking air, Blaine.
Yeah, we talked about that there in the second period.
And that is his third false start. Another point, and Spencer's almost in disbelief there. Now that's 4-0, Blaine. Now you're looking for a 5-point move, I would say.
Yeah, he has to.
And it may be a number of things. One, Porras is a tremendous wrestler. Two, maybe the emotional high was so much for Spencer. You spend so much in the jitters. But as they get reset, Frankie going to catch a far wrist. Now working on a near arm chop. keeping the hips tight. Spencer tries to stand up and face him. He's going to go ahead and get his one.
Escape here with 10 seconds remaining. 4-1 in favor of Porras.
Tries to hit his shot.
5 seconds. It looks like this match is over.
And it's going to be at 130 pounds. Your winner, moving to 40-1 on the season in this his junior campaign. It's going to be Hobart's Francisco Porras.
4-1, 5-1, 30, Porras.
An impressive fashion, I might add, Blaine.
Yeah, it was only 4-1, but he kind of dominated the match. Spencer didn't have a lot of offense there. He had a lot of defense, but couldn't get his offense going.
And in this game, when it comes down to championships, Blaine, they don't ask how, they just ask how much. And in that thing, you win fat or you win slim, it doesn't matter as long as you get your hand raised at the end.
That's right.
We're going to go ahead and run down our 125-pound place winners. In eighth place is Whitco's Daniel Rothgeb. He is 31-11, and this is his junior year. Seventh place will go to Angolia's Ricky Farrar. The senior was 33-3 on the year. Sixth place will go to Andrew Heistend from Yorktown, the 38-5 junior. Excuse me, sophomore. In fifth place will go to Fort Wayne Lures' Anthony Lovejoy, the junior who finished 42-2 on the year.
And fourth place will go to Mason Berryman of Anderson Island. He's a junior at 37-5. Third place is Lawrence Norris Cash Kierga, 46-1 senior. The runner-up went to John Gray, 44-5 senior from Minneapolis Cathedral. And your 2009 125-pound weight class champion is Jason Searches, 40-2 freshman from Crown Point.
And Blaine, this is what I think we've both been looking forward to. As I said before the broadcast here, one, especially myself, before I go into this, I think we just have to mention one more time, Jason Searches, 43-2 on the year. His brother won it as a freshman. He wins it as a freshman, Blaine. Would you like to start the conspiracy theorists?
I'm not doing that.
And my colleague over to my right here, Randy, says, conspiracy. Maybe there is no conspiracy when you're that good.
This brings us to 140 here with, we have East Noble's Taylor March. He is a senior. He has a record of 38-1. He's wrestling Mitchell Ritchie, the 43-0 senior from Brown County.
So a pair of seniors here, one loss in between them. March is Mitchell Ritchie in the blue and gold. He's going to be the red wrestler. Taylor March in the blue and gold as well will be the green wrestler. If I didn't know these guys so well, Blaine, I would say, or Taylor rather, so well, you might get them confused.
Yeah, they're both wearing blue and gold. I mean, they're a little different, but I mean, it's easy to get them confused here.
So 25 seconds already gone here. Neither man doing much here. Still in the feeling out stages. Neither man wanted to make a mistake. Ritchie in on a shot. March doing a good job circling around, trying to close the distance. Ritchie looks like he's going to be a little bit more content to maybe stay behind and keep the space open, Blaine.
Yeah, this is much like the 112-pound match where they kind of stayed open. There was one open shot there by Ritchie of Brown County.
A little too far out to have to yield in results there as they're both back to their feet. March resets. And the thing about Taylor March that, Blaine, you could say, and after watching me up from the Fort Wayne semi-state, up for you know, where we're from, we haven't had one yet, you know, he's a really fundamental wrestler, and he runs a limited range of moves, although he has many in his arsenal, but he runs them to sheer perfection. And, you know, that's one thing that I find endearing about Taylor. So,
you know, you can take that and mirror the exact same thing for Mitchell Ritchie here. He's on his senior year, he's undefeated. Many would say he hasn't been challenged. Obviously, he's proved that he has down here today.
Richie's last match to get into the semifinals, he was a 6-2 winner over undefeated Eric Roach from Crown Point. And Roach, no slouch in his own right. One-time state champ already, you know. That's a heck of a semifinal match to get under the lights. As there's only 21 seconds to go. Now, again, not a lot of action. Both guys just feeling each other out. Been pretty jocular here in the first match. Or excuse me, the first period here, this 135-pound final. 10 seconds to go. Still filling one another out. And Taylor March, Blaine, just like another East Noble wrestler from years back, Andy Uhl, has not been able to get it done in the state finals yet.
Neither one of them. They've been trying to get the monkey off their back, if you want to call it that. But he's got a tough opponent here in Mitchell Ritchie.
And maybe a surprising call, or at least to me, is March has choice here in the second period at 0-0. He's going to defer, and Ritchie is going to go ahead and choose down. Think he knows something we don't know?
I think that March might have messed up if this happens to go to overtime.
Perhaps so, and is off the whistle. March is going to get on from the left side, go ahead and chops the arm. Comes through a crotch lift. Nothing doing for him for Ritchie. Ritchie trying to come up, reaches back for the leg. March with a nice cross face. Ritchie trying to come down and work hand control. March has the near leg and a leg lace. Comes through looking for his cradle. March tries to step over, lifts the leg. Keeps the arm.
There's a quick count there. Now he's near fall. Now a possible reversal here.
He gets two for his near fall. However, we're going to have two reversal.
We got two reversal and two near falls, so we should have 2-2.
Oh,
he waved the near fall off, didn't he?
It looks like the
nope, event. 2-2.
Okay, we're not sure because the scorer is putting him up and taking him down, but we got to figure it out. With a minute 10 left here in the second period of 135-pound state final, it's 2-2. Brown County's. Oh, go ahead, Blaine.
Now he kind of made us look bad there. He scored first. And
Brown County's Mitchell Ritchie on top. In control, has a nice leg right in, trying to turn that inside hip up. Taylor doing a great job of bellying down. And the official calls a stalemate. Number six, Mark Hollingsworth from Kokomo, is going to go ahead and be our official for this one in this match.
Get the Brown County fan club over there to our left.
And they've been here all day, and they've been pretty boisterous for the most part of the day, cheering their Ritchie boys on. And with 40 seconds left to go, it's Ritchie back on top still. Works in his leg ride. Working for the opposite side, working on the ankle, working for a lift, nothing going. Come back on top, looking for a power half. March, bases back up, fights the hand control over the top. March, not doing a lot to improve his position. Now he tripods up. Ritchie's hips are a little low. He's in danger. March trying to buck him off. As March stands up and turns into him, Ritchie's hips are on the mat. He's still in good position, though. Resets
his hips.
5 seconds
remaining here.
And there's
a two.
And March is going to go ahead and get his reversal as time runs out.
I think Richie's hurt here. I seen him grimace on his face there.
I think he had that ankle in, and when he had it in, he had it laced over his leg. March turned in. March turned in hard and may have twisted the kneecap. And he's limping around, favoring that left leg.
No injury time for him.
And he's going to go ahead and gut this one out, and he's favoring that left leg as he gets set. So March on bottom off the whistle, goes ahead and just kind of lays out there. Ritchie on top. And is that a good move, Blaine, to just stay down there and be content to just get rode out?
As long as you don't get with stalling.
You know, some guys can do that. You know, that is a game plan of some that choose to gonna go ahead and lay on the mat and make the guy either A, turn you, B, force you to get a stalling call, or C, cut you, one or the other. Either way, it's Taylor March up 2-4 on Brown County's Mitchell Ritchie. Ritchie on top, has both legs in now, got both of those hooks in, and looking to turn, looking for his power half. March doing a good job of balling up, and this is what he did last time, Blaine. You know, I said he wasn't doing much, but as soon as I said that, he makes me look foolish, tripods up and gets a reversal.
I do know that Mitchell Ritchie is a very good top rider with the cradles, especially. He's a very good turner. That looks like that's what he's looking for.
And there's the first stalling call on East Noble's Taylor March. March not really doing a whole lot to improve his position. Now, I think the thing that makes it suspect, Blaine, that really gives it away, is his head is on the mat.
Yeah.
And when your head's on the mat, you know, the official, you're telling the official, I just don't want to wrestle.
You know, he hasn't improved his position here yet. He might get another call. There it is, right there.
Wow, one within 20 seconds, 50. We're going to go ahead and get another call. So it's only going to be 4-3.
You may see a cut right here and try to get a takedown.
And I think that may be the wise move on the part of Ritchie as his hips are down. March comes to the head, looking to turn him, gets him stacked up, and Ritchie bails.
He bailed too late. Nope.
No,
he needs to get him his one here.
Just about as I said, he has a reversal.
The coaches are trying to tell him to cut him, and he won't.
March keeping a hold of that elbow. He's really Matt savvy. He knows what's going on. Taylor looking for the outside leg. And there he's going to finally get his first state championship. East Nobles, Taylor March.
Taylor March.
So your winner at 135 pounds by a margin of 3-4 will be East Nobles, Taylor March. And for Mitchell Ritchie, Blaine, to be undefeated in your last match, you know, that's nothing to hang your head about.
He went down swinging. I mean, he was trying everything he had. Nothing to hang your head about.
Absolutely not. And Mitchell, it looks like he was favoring that knee coming off just a little bit.
Let's go to presentation honors now at 130 pounds.
And so as March is going to go ahead and get his gold medal, we are going to go ahead and run down the finishers and the 125-pound weight class.
It should be 130 here, but we don't have our sheet in front of us. I don't know if they ever brought us a 130-pound sheet.
Well, I know that I've been keeping my Lucky Souvenir program in order here. And at 125 pounds.
30. We're 130 here.
Thank you, Blaine, for keeping me honest here. At 8th place, it will be Brown County's Quincy Ritchie at freshman. And 7th place will be Andrew Saints from Castle, the senior. And 6th place will be Perry Meridian Sampson Cook. And 5th place will be Columbia City's senior Austin Egoff. And 4th place will be, by injury default, will be the 3-time state champion, Mishawaka's Joshua Harper. And 3rd place will be Carroll Jr. Brock Norton. And 2nd place will be DeMarcus Spencer from Pike. And your champion at 130 pounds for your 2009 season will be Hobart's Frankie Paras.
That'll bring us into the 140-pound state championship match. This will be 42-2 junior Ryan Stahl of Elkhart Memorial. He will be wrestling returning state champion Steven Sandifer. He's a 43-1 senior from Mishawaka High School.
As far as I know, Blaine, the only other meeting this year between the two was at the Al Smith Classic, where Sandifer was able to best Stahl 4-2 in the finals. So as they get started here, 10 seconds already gone. Both men locking up quickly in an ear-to-ear tie. Stahl wasting no time. As you might recall, at 189 pounds last year, Ryan's brother Steve was able to walk away with the gold. And Sandifer last year in his own right was able to walk away with the gold. So a lot of hardware between these two gentlemen.
At least at the household.
At least at the household, I should say. Thank you. Keep me honest. And at 30 seconds in, Sandifer is going to go ahead. Hits a nice low single, trying to step through. Trying to step through. Stahl gets his leg back. Well, a potentially dangerous situation here. Stahl's knee underneath, but Stahl does a great job of capturing Sandifer's knee. Sandifer 43-1, as we mentioned, on the year. Both gentlemen sporting their white singlets, the white and red for Elkhart Memorial, and white maroon for Sandifer. Sandifer the red wrestler. Stahl the green wrestler with a minute gone here. Still scoreless. Both of these guys not timid about getting aggressive here, Blaine.
No, not at all. They're actually kind of beating up on each other here, beating their heads down. Not many shots yet.
No, and look at it, and judging by looking at these guys, Blaine, they're guys that like to beat. I like to get in there and pound it, mix it up. 35 seconds left to go here in the first period. As Stahl working, trying to work for his underhook, got some wrist control. Sandifer comes back. Double outside control. Throws it off. And both guys, again, Blaine, you know, nobody wants to make a mistake and go down early, you know, get down 2-0, 5-0 here earlier on, and then have to dig yourself out of a hole. 7 seconds left to go here in the first period. Both men still jockeying for position. And that's going to conclude our scoreless first period.
Second flip's going to go to Stahl. Katie Furs. And looks like Sandifer is going to take neutral.
And our officials for this match, number 9, Steve Miller, is going to be our head official. And Charles Barnett is going to be our assistant judge on the side here. And as we start the second period, neutral. Stahl.
Stahl's got big-time double underhooks here.
And Sandifer's in trouble as he's trying to move out of the back. Stahl's trying to keep him in. Sandifer obviously trying to back up and get out of here and get his hips long, get back. Stahl, if he could just bring him in and keep him in, he's got a real chance at getting
two. He's got almost all the way off the mat. I mean, picked up off the mat.
Stahl obviously has the height advantage, probably a good head over Sandifer, and Sandifer's able to break in, move out of bounds.
Yeah, Sandifer's in big trouble there. He had his hips away as far away as he could and was trying to get out of bounds, as he had to.
And Sandifer, the shorter, more compact wrestler, but that's taking nothing away from the junior here because Stahl is really put together, but I'd probably say has, what, Blaine, a good 8 inches on him?
Easily 8 inches.
I try to be generous to the short guys, you know. I was one myself. You should know something about that as well. And Sandifer's in on his shot. A minute to go here. Stahl comes into his front headlock. A little deep on the elbow. Sandifer looking for a sucker drag. Sandifer looks like he's just content. Kept that head down.
Nice little scramble here.
And nobody comes to control, but Sandifer does have that single leg now as they're back down to the mat. Stahl's hips on the mat, trying to bring it up.
Stahl's trying to circle around behind. He's got to step around, hook an ankle.
Sandifer's head on the mat, looking like he's just trying to hold on for a stalemate here.
He steps over now. This could be two.
Stahl steps
his arm
over.
Under.
He gets the ankle, and they're going to go ahead and give control.
Now we're going to get...
And just as we say that...
Two reversal.
I don't even know what happened. Did he spin toward his head? I think he spun toward his head. And
one of those funk things.
Was able to catch him, yeah. And sometimes the funk is to your benefit here as Sandifer is back on top. So 2-2 is the score. 10 seconds left to go in the second period. Ryan Stahl trying to stand up. Gets wrist control. Wisely, Sandifer drops down to the leg. Beautiful. Trying to run the pipe. Nothing doing. And that is going to conclude the second period. So at 140 pounds here in this, the state championship match. Still 2-2.
It looks like Stahl takes bottom, but Sandifer's going back to his feet. So it's 3-2 in favor of Stahl.
What do you think, Blaine? A smart move?
Might as well. Try and take him down.
Dynamite dropping, Blaine. No, I would probably have to agree that, you know, Derek Snyder knows his wrestler very well. He looks over at Coach, as did Sandifer, and Snyder told him, he said, let's go neutral. So that's where he's going to be. 3-2 is the score. Elkhart Memorial's Ryan Stahl. Up 3-2, Sandifer in on a outside shot from ways away. Comes back up, Stahl working his underhook towards the edge of the mat. Sandifer trying to circle back in. Stahl trying to work inside for position. Sandifer with a shuck by and a quick shot. Gets the legs right on the edge of the mat.
He's got both legs. This might be two. There it is.
And he's going to go ahead and give it, but from my vantage point, Blaine, it looks like he didn't even have the hips covered. I know he had control of the kneecaps. But I don't know if that constitutes...
I thought he had control there. I would have gave him two.
So there you go. Six of one and half a dozen of another.
And
we got
he goes
one
back
guy.
To his feet here. He doesn't even go back to the mat.
No, so
we're tied
obviously,
back up.
You know, Sandifer may know something we don't as far as, you know, his ability to ride on top. You know, those long guys on bottom are kind of hard to judge. And, oh, Sandifer hits a sweet duck under. However, Stahl gets his hips back and brings his hip on top. Looks like Stahl might...
I see a spoidal coming.
Yeah, he may have the better of this
exchange.
He tried
to go for it. There it is. Nope, missed it.
And he may have just...
And there's two.
Oh,
two
boy.
Two takedown Sandifer. Kind of rolled through a potential spladle there.
Yeah, I might have been content there, Blaine, to, you know, wait for the stalemate. But that, you know, Ryan Stahl, you got to commend him for going for it. But if he goes down, he's going to get back and get his escape. Sandifer up 6-5 as Stahl is quickly back on another shot, Blaine. Almost had a takedown there on the edge of the mat.
Sandifer tried a duck under again, and Stahl caught it, almost put him right on his back.
30 seconds left to go here in the third period. Mishawaka's Steven Sandifer with a 6-5 lead over Elkhart Royals' Ryan Stahl. Stahl back and Sandifer up. With 15 seconds, Blaine, I think it's a little late to be looking for a stall call, but needless to say...
I don't think you're going to get a stall call to tie it up.
Oh, Sanford drops down to the legs. And Sanford's such a savvy wrestler, Blaine. You saw him. As soon as Stahl stood up, he drops the leg. As soon as Stahl gets backing him up, he drops the leg. He's not going to make any mistakes. And there's Stahl looking for a throw, charging right in. Nothing doing.
5 seconds here. Let's see what Stahl can pull out of his pocket.
Yeah, Stahl not conceding.
What tricks does he have?
A fantastic job on Stahl trying to jump the gun there. He's not conceding anything at this point with 5 seconds. And as they start again, he's looking in for a throw and not going to get it. And there it is, ladies and gentlemen,
at 140
and 140 pounds. And this is senior
There's break
season.
Dancing.
Steven Sanifer is going to go ahead and repeat as state champion with a little
break dance.
I mean, I wouldn't say that's the best break dance I've ever seen after a state finals match.
Hey,
but
he's a redhead. We don't dance.
That's why I've seen you dance before, Blaine. You guys do not dance. I don't know, though, if I can really, you know, link you in the same weight class.
No.
In the same group with him, you know.
let's run down the 135-pounders.
And our place finishers at 135 pounds, it's going to be Bluffton's Matt Gerber. Gerber finishes his senior season at 38-6. Seventh place is Mishawaka's Trenton Reinhold. Reinhold, a 13-3 senior. In sixth place is Perry Meridian's Chris Goodwin. Goodwin, a 46-7 senior. And in fifth place is Doug Welch from Castle. The sophomore finishes with a 45-4 record.
And in fourth place, it is Eric Roach, a 40-2 sophomore from Crown Point. Third place was senior Will Mascaro, 46-1 from Carmel. The runner-up was Mitchell Ritchie, 43-1 senior from Brown County. And your 2009 135-pound weight class champion is Taylor March, 39-1 senior from East Noble High School.
And you want to talk about a stacked weight class, Blaine. You were looking at the semifinal match, or excuse me, the semifinal round, going through there between Ritchie, Roach, Mascaro, and March. March is the only one with a loss.
One loss, everyone else undefeated.
That is incredible. So, here we go. At 145 pounds, it's going to pit Indianapolis Cathedral's Gavin McGinley. McGinley is a 33-4 senior. He's going to be going against Culver Academy's Daniel Young. Young, a spotless 47-0 in this, his senior season.
Congratulations, gentlemen. This will be Cathedral's third participant in the finals.
And as you know, Blaine, as it may be or may not be common knowledge for those of us listening on broadcastsports.net, Daniel Young, the younger brother of Paul Young. Paul
and JT Young. I believe there's one other brother that was above them. So there's a few state titles in that family as well.
Young already committed to wrestle for Purdue.
Army.
Thank you. Keep me honest, Blaine. I start making up these facts on the fly, and I'm glad I have you here to keep me honest. As we're underway here, McGinley doing a great job.
It was a nice knee pick.
Yeah.
Tried to spin around.
Young shot in. McGinley snapped. Looked for a knee block. Tried to spin around, but Young spun with him, and they're going to go careening out of bounds. Young tries to shoot for that high crotch from a ways away. Gets his elbow caught. Now he's down underneath that front headlock. And McGinley in on a reshot. Nothing doing again on another reshot is McGinley. And they're going to go ahead and head out of bounds. 1 minute and 21 seconds left to go here in this scoreless first period at 145 pounds. And they're going to go ahead and get reset. And as action begins, Young in there pounding the head of McGinley. McGinley throwing it off. And McGinley kind of leaving that left foot out there, Blaine.
Don't look like Young's trying to take care of it. Young keeps kind of slapping at the head, kind of some head shots there.
And this may be something we saw out of Frankie Porras earlier, you know, keep going up top and get him worried about what's going on up top and go ahead and head downstairs.
I just got to look at Daniel Young's singlet. Looks like he's got the Superman singlet that his brothers wore. Other than this one's maroon instead of purple.
Right, he's got a Superman Culver singlet. And that may be a specialty of excuse me, of one coach. Ooh, hold that thought. Here is Young in our outside single there. As I was going to say, Blaine, somebody that we're very familiar with, Andy Nicola, his coach there at Culver, I would suspect may be in on that.
It's possible. He coached his brother, Paul Young, to a one state championship. He wasn't there his first title, but he was there with his second title.
But I don't see Coach Nicola in the corner. Conspicuous by his absence. Nonetheless, Young is still wrestling, very aggressive. 25 seconds left to go here in the first period. Going to go ahead and go out of bounds, get reset. Both guys playing, again, very aggressive. We've already saw some good scrambles out of these two, but no points scored. 15 seconds left to go. Young still working the head. Almost had an arm drag, nothing doing. McGinley trying to work into his underhook. And I think McGinley, Blaine, you know, after watching him, is one that is definitely comfortable. You know, he's not going to back away from tying up in there some of the Greco-Roman type stuff, upper body. Not going to shy away from that.
No, he's a built wrestler here. Actually, built-wise, they're pretty close. Daniel's a little bit taller, not too much. Maybe an inch or two.
Maybe, yeah, very very comparable in size and in strength and in skill for that matter. So, as evidenced by our 0-0 score, McGinley is going to start the second period down. As he sits out, Young comes in, working double unders from on top. On his toes, keeping the pressure down. Working for a suck back, McGinley turns in. Back down. On all fours. Young working. Has a nice tight waist. Half, and they're going to go ahead and roll out of bounds. With 20 seconds gone here in this, the second period, Paul Young is, or excuse me, I knew I was going to do that at least one time. Daniel is going to go ahead and choose for an a neutral start.
That'll make the match 1-0 in favor of McGinley.
And as I say that, Young already back in. Daniel looking for a single. He's going to go ahead, hook over one leg, turn into McGinley. No takedown has been awarded yet, but Young trying to come through.
McGinley's doing a good job of staying through the crotch there and just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah, and also his legs underneath Daniel's arms there, so he's not allowing Daniel to really come through and you know turn back into him. As
this could be a takedown here.
There you go. For a second there, Blaine, I thought we might get a stalemate, but Daniel does a great job of coming through, turning back into him, and getting the takedown. So it's going to be 2-1 in favor of Culver's. Daniel Young has a leg right in on top, trying to work the near wrist. Set down to his hip. Young comes back up on top, working for his a far side cradle, looks like. Working across on the cross face, keeping his hips high. He's not in danger as we have 30 seconds left to go here in the second period. Again, Young up 2-1 on McGinley. And McGinley, Blaine, his head's still on the mat, similar to what we saw in Taylor March a couple of weight classes ago, not really trying to mount much of an offense.
I don't know if that's by choice. I think that's being forced down.
As you said, Blaine, both these guys pretty comparable and looks like in the size and strength.
He just popped up. He gets an escape. I mean, he just literally just popped up.
Yeah, Daniel did a nice job of trying to throw that power half on top, but as soon as he pulled the leg out, McGinley stood up and faced him, and he was able to get his one. So with 4 seconds left to go here in the second period, still tied 2-2, and it's going to go ahead and be Daniel Young's choice here in the third period. Young going to go ahead and choose down. And again, Blade, both these guys in phenomenal shape. Neither one of them breathing hard.
Yeah, neither one, at least as of yet.
And that's just, you know, proof of how hard guys like these work in the practice room. You know, some guys you get here, we saw, and, you know, I'm not saying this is the case, but you saw, you know, DeMarcus Spencer there from Pike was laboring there towards the later rounds, and I think that might have been more just, you know, some of the nerves or whatever getting to him.
Porter stayed on him pretty good throughout the match. I mean, he pushed him, kept his head down.
Yeah, these guys, you know, obviously working really hard in the practice room as Daniel Young is going to go ahead and stand up. They're going to go out of bounds. 10 seconds gone here in the third period. McGinley gets back on the left side. Whistle goes. McGinley tries to come in with a far side leg ride. Young catches it, however. Looking to stand up with it. The official's right there looking for that potentially dangerous call. Nothing doing. And Young has the hands clear.
To run, but McGinley kind of just grabbed through the crotch there and just kind of ran him out of bounds.
Yeah, he stayed in through the crotch. Great job to keep him, keep the pressure down. Blaine, if you're McGinley right now, what do you do with a minute 36 left? Do you try and ride him to go into overtime, or do you cut him and try
to
get your takedown?
I think he has to try and ride him here. He's doing a great job of riding so far. Young kind of throws him off.
McGinley getting a little liberal there. There's locked hands, and the official was right on top of that. He's going to go ahead and get hit with the technical violation there, and you and I both saw it before the official hit it. That was a great call.
Now I think it's time to go to your feet and try to get a takedown.
Perhaps I'd have to agree with that, Blaine. The official, Charles Barnett, right on top of that.
Yep, there's
that. That's just a mental error, Blaine. You know, a guy like Young, you're trying so hard to keep on top, and he gets his hips out, and what happens, the hands come together. And with a minute 20 left, we're going to start. Young comes back in. He's been deadly on that low single. Can he finish it this time? Was able to last time. He's going to go ahead and hook the leg. Crowds the hips.
Nothing yet. Nothing yet.
No exchange.
All right, here, look at this. McGinley has Young on his back.
Young comes over the top.
And this is, he's very close to the fall.
Young comes over the top. McGinley turns into him.
Very tight.
Young got himself in a bit of trouble, and now with 50 seconds left, he's going to have to fight off his back.
It's an tight arm cradle.
McGinley's got one arm trapped, one arm over the head. And Young is going to go ahead, give up his five. He's down, finds himself now down by 3 points, 7-4.
Now there's a reversal with another cradle. More near fall. This is Daniel Young, pinfall right here. And there it is. With 28 seconds to go, what a third period.
And with 15 seconds, it goes from Daniel Young looking like he's going to lose his state championship to coming back, hitting the cradle, winning a state championship.
And again, the holding up the Superman.
The first state championship for Culver Military. That was tremendous, Blaine.
That was an exciting third period.
I've got goosebumps. How about you?
I have them right there. You can see them. My hair is standing up.
That is amazing. Congratulations to both men. That was Nip-Tuck all the way.
That's the last of the Young brothers there.
That's why I say, Blaine, I mean, that's, to me, hands down, is why Indiana is the best state finals in the country.
The reason why Nicole is not in the corner, because his brother JT is in the corner.
I just saw that. Yeah, he gave him a little embrace there, a little smooch on the cheek, said, had to go, big boy. Wow, and we're going to go ahead now and come
that,
from
that,
there.
Actually, that's a case of it's never over until the fat lady sings.
That's right.
She might be singing right now somewhere.
From that, we have to go to our 140-pound state placers. And eighth place is going to be Pear Meridian's Jacob Tante. Tante, a junior, finishes with a 46-6 record. In seventh place will be Columbus North senior Jacob Meilenball, 44-6 on the year. In sixth place at 47-3 is junior Alex Suma from Munster. Fifth place is South Bend Riley's Trace Hall. Hall caps his junior year off with a 36-8 record.
And in fourth place is Evansville Modern Day sophomore John Sims. Third place was Chad Barrett with a 49-3 record, senior from Eastern of Greentown. The runner-up is Ryan Stahl, 42-3, junior from Elkhart Memorial. And your champion at 140-pound weight class in 2009 is Stephen Sandifer, 44-1, senior from Mishawaka, picking up his second state title. Now this will bring us into the 152-pound weight class, featuring returning state qualifier Sean McMurray, wrestling freshman Anthony Keyrose. And watching these two walk out on the mat, I'm expecting a bloodbath.
And this is another one, Blaine. In the semifinals here, McMurray had to go through Yorktown's Kyle Mosier, and a 48, a 44-0 in his own right was Mosier. And Keyrose had to go through Aaron Estrada from Munster, a 25-2 wrestler. So Keyrose with 11 losses, Blaine. A lot of people are counting him out, but as you and I have both said, wrestling very well.
Now I said earlier that I'm expecting a bloodbath. Both wrestlers walked out with headgear on that have the headbutt pad.
Yeah, Keyrose quickly going to go ahead and give up a takedown. And as soon as it gets a takedown, Keyrose rolls through, comes back behind McMurray. McMurray now on bottom, tie score. Caroz does a great job with a nice little quarter step, lifts him, returns to the mat. And I think, Blaine, in the first 40 seconds here, we've seen more action than some of these matches combined.
Yeah, I have a feeling this is going to be an exciting high-scoring match.
And as...
That's an escape for McMurray, and then immediately back into a takedown.
Thank you. With a minute left, it is going to be 5-2 in favor of McMurray. McMurray, it seems like, Blaine, Portage always, you know, always comes out and always has tremendous wrestlers, you know, a very storied program, and guys that just keep coming down the pipeline. They may only have a couple guys in, but they always seem to find themselves under the lights.
I actually believe this is the only Portage wrestler down here this year, which is kind of uncommon for them.
Notwithstanding, McMurray on top, doing a great job, has a spiral in on Caroz. Caroz trying to work up as McMurray tries to bring a leg in on the near side. 35 seconds left to go. Caroz trying to work his stand-up. And I don't know the story, Blaine, behind McMurray's shoulder brace. Do you have any information on that?
I have not heard what's wrong.
I heard you took him out in the back alley earlier, and you know, that's why you're sporting your black eye, and McMurray has a shoulder strap on.
That wasn't me. That might have been the guy to my left here, Coach Al Smith.
I heard it took about four of you, so it might have just been your posse. 10 seconds left to go. McMurray's still on top, working that spiral down. Caro's not able to advance his position at all. 5-2 is going to be the score coming out of the first period here. And as the official here is going to go ahead and get the coin toss, it goes to McMurray. McMurray's going to go ahead and choose down. And Blaine, yeah, that is kind of a throwback there to the head butting gear of old. I guess you're right. They were expecting a bit of a bloodbath here.
Yeah, they both have them on, and I really am expecting this thing to be bloody just because they both have them.
And Caroz on top, and again with a spiral ride of his own, trying to wear McMurray down. McMurray gets the hands away, fights one hand away. Caroz has a nice tight waist, trying to return to the mat. McMurray looks for a switch.
And
he hits it, brings his high leg over. He's going to go ahead and get two reversal, and Caroz had to bail.
Yeah, he had to, or else he was going to be on his back there.
And that's one of those moves, even for a freshman, Blade. Weisbond is beyond his years is Caroz, because Caroz, that may be one of those moves you try and stay in and get the reversal and end up on your back giving up the stick.
So now we have a minute 13 left in the second period. It scores 7-2 in favor of McMurray of Portage.
And Caroz earlier on, I got my facts here. Caroz lost to McMurray earlier on in the year by a 2-14 decision.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
And so, but you know, Blaine, I'll tell you what. Some of these guys, freshmen, they develop at a different level, and it looks like the learning curve has been shortened sharply for one Anthony Caroz. But Caroz down here on bottom, not really doing a whole lot. He's posting that far leg as McMurray's were trying to run a cross wrist to no avail, keeping the head down and just taking his beating at this point.
Yeah, there's not much he can do. McMurray has a deep cross wrist there.
Now he's threaded it through the crotch, looking to pump handle, trying to come through and on tilt. And the official there right on top of it is going to go ahead and hit Caroz on bottom there with a stalling. But as you said, Blaine, there's not a lot of leeway when you're on bottom like that.
Nah, McMurray's actually pinning him down here with his knee. There is no coming up right now. Caroz works up to a base and sits out. The time runs out of the second period.
And as the as you said, the period comes to a close. It's going to be 7-2 in favor of Sean McMurray from Portage. McMurray sporting the ever popular Superman tattoo that most Portage wrestlers, you know, always seem to be fond of. Off the whistle, Caroz sits out. McMurray goes ahead and catches the near ankle, brings it back down to the mat. Still on the ankle, dries him flat, has a tight waist, working up the body. Caroz keeping his chest high, not letting himself be broke down. Tries to sit out, keeping his hips under him, working toward his base, trying to gain wrist control. McMurray comes in with a spiral ride, looks for a far side cradle, comes back to the spiral ride, now has a deep hook, working off to the side, trying to bait Caroz down to the mat. And Blaine, you know what? Not a lot of action.
It's
been slowed significantly.
The ref may be calling McMurray for stalling here, as he hasn't really... I mean, he's came off the hips, but he's...
And Caroz hits
Caroz hits a... I don't know what you want to call that.
We had a teammate once, Blaine, that was his favorite move. You know, he comes over the head and comes over the near arm in an underhook and then just kind of throws back and finds himself
backwards.
On top. And that was close to the out of bounds. That
was got to be an escape.
Yeah, that was close to the out of bounds there. And the officials here, as we said before, Pete Shorter from Indianapolis conferring.
Stephen Anslinger. He does get one escape here.
And so now that's going to put him down 4 points, so 7-3. Is McMurray on top. And now the Portage coach is going to come over. He's going to share his beef with the official. He hears it, gives him his explanation, and we're going to get set to wrestle again. 1:14 left to go here in the third period. 7-3 is the score. Your leader is Sean McMurray, Fuff Portage. Anthony Carose in a front headlock. The freshman looking to go around, get his two. Moves, looks for a shuck. No avail. Back to their feet. McMurray in on his own shot. Carose in a front quarter. He has his head on top line. I think he really needs to get his head in on the side, into the hole, as you like to say, to really make that move effective.
Looks like he's trying to quarter Nelson, just try to push his head under. And they call a stalemate just as he starts to move around. I think both wrestlers moved there. They should have been a double caution.
And with 40 seconds left, Carose still looking for the takedown here. Down 4 points, snaps. McMurray down. Sean doing a good job of keeping his head up. But Carose reaches back inside that leg, trying to step over, can't get it. McMurray doing a good job fighting him, and again, back to that front quarter. Now comes back, comes behind
now
the arms.
He's got two takedowns.
He's
going to
get his two takedowns.
He cuts him. Scores 8-5. 14 seconds remaining.
It's going to be 13 seconds. Carose is going to need to pull something out here in the next 10 seconds if he's going to look to advance. And that's the way this one is going to end. At 152 pounds, your champion from Portage High School, improving to a spotless 49-0, Sean McMurray. And you know what, Blaine? It might have been the most, spectacular thing you've ever seen. But I'll tell you what, that's
those
impressive.
Those two worked hard.
They did. And, a little bit lackluster applause there by the audience here, because that was a tremendous match.
Yes, it was.
It was wrestled very well. And at 49-0, I don't think he could slide McMurray, but you know what? It doesn't matter. He's jazzed. He's got flash bulbs going off, and he's going to savor this one.
Oh, he's got one more. He's only a junior.
And as we're going to go ahead and give you our 145-pound place winners, in eighth place is going to be Yorktown's Jordan Delaney. Delaney finishes his senior season at 42-4. Seventh place is going to go to Leo's Cameron Friend. Friend, also a senior, and he will finish at 36-3 on the year. Sixth place goes to the 45-8 junior from Peru High School, Dalton Sparks. In fifth place is Zachary Corp from Elkhart Memorial. Corp, a junior, finishes his year at 42-3.
And in fourth place, it was Keen Jones of Maryville, 38-8 senior. Third place was Sam Bennett, 39-2 junior from Anderson Highland. The runner-up was Gavin McGinley, 33-5 senior from Indianapolis Cathedral. And your state champion 2009 at 145 was Daniel Young, 48-0 senior from Culver Academy. Again, that was the first state champion for Culver Academies.
I'll tell you what, there's probably going to be a party back at Culver when they get back there tonight. That thing may just go into the wee hours of the morning, knowing a program like that really wanting to, such the premium that they put on their athletes and their young men. That's just tremendous to be able to get their first state champion in wrestling. And we're moving along here to 160 pounds. At 160 is going to be Pendleton Heights, Matt Todd. This Arabian is coached by Dave Cloud and Eric Cabril. He is a senior. He is 46-0. He has 33 falls in the year, and he's going to be from the Newcastle semi-state.
And he's going to be wrestling undefeated Briar Runyon of Martinsville. He's a senior. He has a career record of 137-10. 2 years ago, Briar Runyon was third. Last year, he was second. He's trying to climb the ladder, get to the top rung this year.
Get to the peak of that mountain, and not an easy thing to do here at 160, as Runyon was there last year. No, he was disappointed in his performance last year, but looking to best that. As we are underway, Runyon in on a nice outside single. He's got it stepped up. He's got it jacked up high. looks for a backside trip, looks for an inside trip. But a great job on the part of Todd to be fighting it off. Todd works to the edge of the mat, unable to get out of bounds. And Runyon comes in, going to secure his takedown, and with a minute 10 left, is going to go out of bounds. A great job, Blaine, there, keeping him in and being able to finish that takedown.
Yeah, he brought him back to the center and then basically reshot there.
Yeah, Todd has tremendous takedown defense, but he also has a great offense of his own. To get to the finals here, Todd had to go ahead and beat another unbeaten in Russell Powell from Northridge, also undefeated at 42-0. So, again, Blaine, a lot of these guys, look at these.
160 was undefeated all throughout the semifinals.
Both gentlemen having to beat undefeated wrestlers to get here. So, you know, taxing matches for each before they even got to here under the lights.
Again, the score is 2-0 for Briar Runyon of Martinsville. We have 45 seconds remaining in the first period.
And you know, Blaine, I think that, again, that just speaks, you know, that's just a testament to all the parents, you know. Oh, my Lanta, here we go.
We got a turn here, a chicken wing turn, and this could be a fall.
It didn't look like much there, folks. Briar Runyon had a chicken wing, starts to run over the head. Now he has, Todd on the back, on his back in a very precarious
position. He's getting close.
Running that surfboard.
Oh, Todd breaks the lock and is able to get probably an escape here.
And with 70 seconds left to go, the official's going to say no escape. Runyon was able to hook his leg back around, and I think that's where he kept control.
Yeah,
and
there's the escape. Like he just forgot to give it there.
Assistant official, Frankie Medeviskit, comes in, reminds him, and it's going to be 5-1 in favor of Martinsville's Ryan Runyon. And the Artesians, Blaine, had a pretty good representation here. I think three wrestlers that got down here to the finals.
Yes, I actually I student observe at Martinsville Middle School right now, and Briar Runyon's a pretty big hero there.
And very, you know, he's pretty big anywhere he goes, but especially among the middle schoolers. But all kidding aside here, Briar Runyon is put together. When I saw him last year, I thought, you know, this kid is gigantic. For a junior, now he's a senior, he's even bigger, Blaine. Look at the triceps and the biceps on this guy. His shoulders are just, you can see the striation of his muscles. I mean, and that's not taking anything away from Todd on top. I mean, both these guys are put together, Blaine. But what do you expect for being, you know, up in the 42-0. Back to the action here. 15 seconds gone here in this second period. Todd on top, working for wrist control. Trying to work for an arm chop, nothing doing as Runyon's just kind of resisting those chops. Working up into his base. Got an inside ankle lace. Runyon working back up to his feet, peels the far claw off, turns back in. Todd using those using a strength we were just discussing earlier, drives it back down to the mat. Matt Todd still on top, minute 10 left. We're going to spiral ride, Blaine, but I tell you what, he's behind 4 points. He's going to have to make up some points here.
Yeah, he's going to have to make some points up quick here. Not quick, but he's got to do something to score. He's just kind of riding right now.
Right, exactly. Really being reactive on top than being proactive as Briar Runyon comes over, grabs the wrist of Matt Todd, turns into Todd. Todd holding on to that low single, trying to work up. I think he's trying to look for
a
stalemate.
Runyon has a whizzer there.
And we're going to go ahead and get the potentially dangerous call. Start it over. Good call there on the part of the official.
You know, I've noticed a reoccurring scene here in the finals. And actually all weekend, the ankle bands keep falling off. I think it's time for the IHSAA to spend a little money and get some new ankle bands. They've been falling off almost at least once a round on every mat.
Well, Blaine, I think if that's the biggest of our problems here at this tournament, I would say we're doing pretty all right.
Yeah.
You know, this is a great venue, being under here underneath the lights. Having the guys up here on the video scoreboard, it just doesn't get any better than this. 30 seconds left to go. 5-1 in favor of Martinsville's Briar Runyon. Matt Todd on top, looking. Runyon sits out, looks to sit out. Todd keeps the arm.
They have each other's heads here, tucked under. Kind of a weird situation.
It almost looks like a little Debbie scramble there.
Again, both heads are tucked underneath.
And with 7 seconds to go, Runyon's going to go ahead and get the escape. So Matt Todd finds himself down 4 right here, going into the third period, Blaine.
Down 5, 6-1. And Todd chooses the bottom.
And as Todd gets set, Runyon's going to go ahead and mount him from the right side, actually. Whistle goes. Runyon collapses the right arm. Gets Todd flattened out. Runyon comes over the inside leg. Working for inside wrist control, trying to pull it inside. Laces the ankle. Working up the body now. Working for his chicken wing. And the official looks like we're going to have a little blood time. Okay, we have a little blood on the back of Briar Runyon there. And Blaine, what do you think of those Martinsville throwback singlets?
I remember when, Justin Cisco and the other one, Joel Jeffries, they wore those all the time.
And, you know, they're modifying singlets, just those old polyester singlets. Not much in the breathing department, but not much as far as an inseam department either.
Old
high-cut jam singlets, you know, that's... I always like seeing the throwbacks, Blaine, because, you know, it's not only a throwback to your team, but, you know, really kind of a tribute to the guys that came before you and, you know, wore the name just as proudly. And Runyon's going to go back. He's getting himself fired back up. A minute 40 left to go here in the third period at the 160-pound weight class championship. Briar Runyon of Martinsville leading Pendleton Heights. Matt Todd, 6-1 score. Todd sits out. Runyon runs a nice head lever, comes back up, working for wrist control. Sinks a tight wrist, looking for some wrist control. Todd looking for the fat man's roll there. Hooks the elbow, tries to roll through with it.
He does get one escape here.
He gets back to his feet. And Blaine, I think it's a great move in that position. He needs 5 points. He's down.
Hey, he's trying something.
Going for the 5-point move. You can't fault him for that. So Todd down by 4 points, a 6-2 score. And as we're going to go ahead and get a restart of the timing, and sounds like the fans are looking to make some excitement of their own.
The Todd fan club. No, I think it's both fan clubs are behind us here.
And we're in fairly close proximity. Is there?
I hear Todd on my left and Runyon on my right.
Trying to get behind their man each, trying to get something going. 40 seconds left to go. Both back on their feet here. Runyon has an underhook to one side. On the left side, comes out of it. They come back neutral. Todd comes over the head, tries to go for a trip. A nice job to drop to the leg by Briar Runyon. Runyon now has an outside single after he dropped to the leg. Looking for the trip. Tries to trip once, twice, nothing. Third time's a charm as he goes down to the mat. And Runyon blocks up the cradle, and Runyon has a great cradle series, Blaine.
It's not going to matter. We got 5 seconds here. Runyon just won his title.
And as he lets him go with a second left, it's all academic. As your winner at 160 pounds and state champion, a 3-8 score is Martinsville's Briar Runyon. Like I mentioned before, Blaine,
he don't even want to be on the mat right now.
He did it at third place, he did it at second place, and now the Artesian gets his hand raised underneath the lights. Congratulations there to Briar Runyon.
Finishing 8th at 152 pounds.
And let's go ahead and run down our 152-pound place winners. And 8th place is Princeton's Drake Stein. Stein came into the event a perfect 45-0.
But he is standing on the podium right now. That is a very good sign.
At his semifinal match against Chesterton, it's Anthony Kiros got dropped on the shoulder and was taken on a stretcher. So glad to see he's back here. But he will take 8th. 7th place will go to Heritage Hills' Jeff Weiss. Weiss, a junior, 48-8, is how he's going to end his season. 6th place will go to the senior from Zionsville, Drew Brogdon. Brogdon, a 45-3 year. Nothing to scoff at there, Blaine. And rounding out 5th place is going to be Cathedral's Calvin Sullivan. Sullivan, a senior, will finish the year with a 43-2 mark.
And in 4th place was Aaron Estrada from Munster, 25-4 senior. 3rd place was Kyle Mosier, 45-1 senior from Yorktown. The runner-up was Anthony Kiros, 37-12 freshman from Chesterton. And your state champion at 152 for 2009 was Sean McMurray, 49-0 junior from Portage.
Taking the top spot in this is junior season, finishing 49-0. from Portage High School, Sean McMurray.
And as we get set for the 171-pound finals, it will pit Lawrence North's Bryce Grimes, a 46-1 senior. He is 46, like as I mentioned, he is 46-1 of the year. 17 falls this season, a career mark of 124-43 with 35 career falls. He's from the Newcastle semi-state. He's a one-time sectional champion, one-time regional champion, one-time semi-state champion. This is his first time as a state qualifier, the first time under the lights, and what a way to start his state finals resume.
And he's wrestling Michael Duckworth of Union County. He is a junior at 47-1, and he was a runner-up last year. And we start
so
here.
As we get set here, 15 seconds gone. Neither man has scored yet. Still moving around in the center of the circle. Grimes in the red singlet is the green wrestler. Duckworth in the red, white, and blue singlet is the red wrestler. We already saw Union County get one state champion at 103 pounds, looking for their second one. This Lawrence North's first wrestler in the finals. 40 seconds gone here. Both men still filling each other out. Looks like Grimes is just kind of, waiting for Duckworth to come to him, Blaine. Duckworth, I would probably give the strength advantage to, wouldn't you say?
Maybe. They're pretty evenly matched. Looks like Grimes is pretty built for him for a 171-pounder here.
And Grimes I'd probably give the speed to, wouldn't you say?
Probably, yeah.
So, it's as they say in the business plan, it's a pick 'em. This one really is a pick 'em, and in my estimation, both of these guys, I don't think are going to really be trying too many, high flying maneuvers. Not a lot of risk to be taken in this match. I think this is just going to come down to solid fundamentals, and the guy who executes better is going to be the guy that comes out on top. 30 seconds left to go here in the first period. Again, no action here. Both guys still just feeling each other out, working in. But I will give it to Duckworth. Duckworth's been pretty aggressive on the head, Blaine.
Yeah. Looks like this first period will probably come to an end scoreless here. We got 5 seconds remaining.
Duckworth has a Russian tie with 3 seconds left to go, and Grimes wants no part of that, backing out very quickly. And so that's the end of the first period here. The official, Frankie, just gets in his ear and he tells him, stay, keep it in the center there, pal. And after the coin flip there, Grimes has choice, but Bryce Grimes is who's deferred.
Looks like Duckworth takes the bottom here. So we start a scoreless match so far at 171.
And again, Blaine, this may come down to be one of those matches where that first point is extra crucial in that third overtime. But notwithstanding here, we're going to go ahead and get the start. Grimes breaks him down first, working a near wrist series, trying to bring it up on back and bar it up. Duckworth doing a good job to come up to his feet. Grimes balls up the fist in his crotch, brings it back down to the mat. Duckworth keeping his head right down there on the mat. Not a lot of offense coming out from Duckworth, Blaine.
No, not a lot of action at all, really, right now. I mean, we're 30 seconds into the second period here.
And like we said before many times, these guys so close, there's not a lot of room for error. Both of them want to be really careful that they don't get themselves in a hole, make a walk right into a Peterson roll or, maybe even a standing headlock or something like that, and get yourself in a real hole. So 32 seconds gone here in the second period, still scoreless in the 171-pound championship match. Lawrence Norris, Bryce Grimes on top of Union County's Duckworth here. Duckworth trying to fight the hands on bottom, able to come up to his feet. This is the most life we've seen out of Duckworth. Duckworth turns around.
He kind of drops and shoots him out of bounds.
Grimes, great job dropping back low and driving Duckworth out of bounds. And Michael Duckworth here, Blaine, 47-1. A pair of once beatens here, as we said earlier on in our face-off as we were running these guys down. Just, I can't believe, Blaine, the level of Indiana wrestling, how it's evolved, So many guys we're mentioning, three and four guys in each weight class undefeated, one loss, just strictly impressive.
Many, I heard many All-American statuses through the faceoffs as well.
Yeah, very, very good. And there,
locked hands.
Duckworth Michael kind of stood there and looked at the official, and he says, yeah, he's got locked hands, and all of a sudden the assistant official there on the side official said, yeah, it's locked hands, and Frankie looks down, and sure enough, he had his hands locked. So a mental slip there on the part of...
looks like we got blood time for Duckworth.
A mental mistake there on Grimes. You can tell he's upset with himself. You can see him, yeah. You know, very, very upset with himself. But you know what, Blaine? It's one of those moves you just can't allow in a state finals. Like, you know, you're in the championship match. Sometimes you just lose your head, but, you know, that could turn out to be costly.
Three more matches after the
one. Oh, yeah, definitely. But one point in a state championship match like that, it could be the match.
So we have blood time and only 19 seconds ran off of the blood time of his 5 minutes. So Michael Duckworth going to go ahead and get cleaned off. 42 seconds left to go here in the first period. Michael Duckworth still down, but he is up 1-0 by virtue of a locked hands by Grimes. Grimes going to go ahead and get on the left side, and he's going to go ahead and get hit with a caution for a false start. Duckworth gets reset. Let's see if Grimes goes back to the left side. And he does. Comes on. The official reminded him to start with the elbow last. A point of emphasis for the officials this year, Blaine.
Oh, there was a nice quarter
step. Nice quarter step on the part of...
Kind of got some moves and ahs from all of us there.
Yeah, Grimes, or Duckworth rather, stood up, and Grimes just hit a nice quarter step and took him up, but put him back down, you know, responsibly, I'd say.
And yeah, he was under control there.
And as Duckworth tries to come up, tries to roll out, Grimes blocks it, and Grimes, as Duckworth turns back into him, Grimes again drives him out of bounds.
We got 3 seconds here. This locked hands call is going to come in pretty handy here for Duckworth.
Yeah, Duck, and I'm going to go ahead and get a injury time, it looks like, this
more
time.
Blood.
More blood.
No,
time.
More blood.
Okay, so we have some blood on the mat, and as Duckworth gets set up again, we'd just like to remind you that we are bringing you the 2009 IHSAA State Finals, courtesy of BroadcastSports.net. We drop BroadcastSport.net. Thank you. No S on the end. Yeah, if you are listening, you're probably at the right website, but we're streaming live here from Conseco Fieldhouse. Upwards of 10,000 strong here. The lights are dimmed. We are in the state finals. 8 seconds left to go as these guys get reset here. 1-0 is the lead to Union County's Michael Duckworth. Duckworth off the whistle. Hits a massive stand-up and gets out, Blaine.
You know, that was almost a letdown for Grimes. He needed to really keep him down for that 8 seconds.
He really did, and Grimes didn't want to let go. They were out of bounds for a good 2 or 3 seconds, and Grimes just couldn't let it go, so... That may have been costly, Blaine, but I'll tell you what, if he can get up and get the escape and takedown or reversal, you know, that'll all go by the wayside. That becomes a distant memory. And in a match like this, Blaine, you know, you got to have a short memory.
Yeah, I mean, he locked his hands once, and he looked like he was overcoming that by riding him out the whole period, and with 8 seconds to go, Duckworth was able to get an escape.
So maybe a couple mental slips there on the part of Grimes may turn out to cost them, but we'll see. 10 seconds gone here. In the third period,
Grimes, we might get a double stalling here. Neither wrestler is working.
Possibly, you know, Duckworth just covering the hips, and looks like Grimes is just kind of wiggling on bottom there. So, working the hands, comes back with a collapses the arm, coming underneath. You don't have a real good vantage point of what's going on, but Duckworth standing on the hips there. Looks like he's got a chicken wing, but I can't be real sure of that, Blaine. And he has that inside leg laced, trying to trick it up. Comes back to the center. Has some heel spurs back in, driving his hips down, keeping Grimes down. And Blaine, I think with a minute left to go, you know, Grimes has got to start wrestling with some urgency.
Oh, yeah, definitely. He's got a minute. He's down two. He's really not even coming up to a base. He's flattened down, just kind of kicking his legs around.
Yeah, and there's one thing to be strategic and, you know, look to get your escape, you know, with 15 to go and tie it up. But he's down two. You know, he can't forget that he needs either a reversal or, you know, one and then two, so.
He calls a stalemate. I was kind of surprised he didn't call a double stalling here because Duckworth is just sitting on his hips there, not really allowing him to come up either.
But, you know, in Duckworth's defense, Blaine, if the official's going to stand there, let him win a state championship that way, you know, you can't fault the kid. I mean, he's wrestling with what he's given there. So 43 seconds left to go. Grimes looks like he's laboring a little bit in his breathing. He's got his head down. And off the whistle.
Yeah, he jumped the whistle there a little bit. Grimes
is that a second caution or is it third? Only a second. So one more, and Grimes will be given his third caution, and Duckworth will be awarded a point, so keep that in mind. 42 seconds left to go. Third period. Union County's Duckworth on top. Michael gets on the right side.
The Gramby attempt by Grimes here.
Not a bad Grammy, but that one was, he wasn't outside of the hips there, couldn't get his hips up, so 30 seconds left to go. That may be the last flurry that we see out of, Bryce Grimes.
Yeah, he's back down to his belly here, trying to work up his base a little bit, but no luck.
No, I mean, it hasn't really been pretty, and we're going to go ahead and get a stalling call on Duckworth, and you know what, in that situation, I think that's appropriate. He wasn't working off of the hips, and, maybe that'll start a fire with 19 seconds left here for Bryce Grimes and Lawrence North. Grimes getting set. Michael Duckworth getting on the right side. Official goes at the whistle. Duckworth breaks back down, tries to collapse the arm again. Now he's looking to wing it up again. Has his chicken wing in, looking to tilt. Five seconds left to go.
Step over, get a reversal, but 2 seconds remaining. Looks like Duckworth's getting his title.
Oh, and right at the end, he tries to hit a Peterson, but no luck. And there it is. Two state champions for Union County, 171 pounds, and I'll tell you what, Blaine, it's sweet enough to get one state champion, but to have a pair of them, that's something special.
And Michael Duckworth makes it two for Union County. They had Cody Phillips at 103.
So I'll tell you what, as Duckworth jumps in and gives a nice embrace to his coach, let's go ahead and run down the 160-pound place finishers.
In eighth place was Dalton Jones, a 36-7 senior from Avon. Seventh was Tyler Willis, 40-8 freshman from Indianapolis Cathedral. Sixth was Kurt Monix, 34-5 senior from Lowell. Fifth place was Brad Farrell, 48-4 senior out of Fishers.
And fourth place, Northridge's Ross Powell. Powell was a senior who finished his campaign with a 42-2 record. Third place goes to Crown Point's Mark Myers. Myers, 41-1 in his senior campaign, will take third. Second place will go to senior Matt Todd from Pendleton Heights. He finishes with a 46-1 record. And your 160-pound champion from Martinsville is senior Briar Runyon, who ends his senior campaign with a perfect 43-0 record.
Fourth place goes to Northridge High School's Ross Powell.
This will bring us into our 189-pound match. This will be Battle of Unbeatens, and they were both runner-ups last year.
You want to talk about some guys that want this one bad, Blaine?
I believe they're both seniors, right?
Yes, sir. As Blaine said, it's going to pit Crown Point's Marcus Shrewsbury. Shrewsbury, 41-0. He will be going against Northridge's Drew Graber. Graber, 43-0. And this one, again, Blaine, they may not have the headbutt gear on, but look for this one also to be a knockdown, drag-out affair. I don't think there's any love lost between these two. They both have what each other wants, and that's a state championship.
And these both are big guys.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Yeah, we said before that you guys were big and muscular. These boys are big and muscular. You know, you see, like you say it all the time, but, you know, they give a new meaning to that term. So, as we get underway here, it's going to be Shrewsbury in the red Crown Point singlet with the green ankle band, and Graber in the green Northridge singlet in the red ankle band. Only slightly confusing, but, we have the best officials in the state here, Blaine. I think they can handle it.
Yeah, could have made it a little easier on them, but yeah, they're the best in the state for this year, so they can figure it out.
And Shrewsbury in on a single. He's going to go ahead and sit Graber down to his hip. Graber does a great job, brings his hip back out on top. He's over through the crotch on Shrewsbury. They're getting close to going out of bounds. Shrewsbury looks to switch off to his double, comes back to his single, snaking the leg, and and they are going to go ahead and get restarted out of bounds. Graber, his ankle bands came off, so he's going to go ahead and get those back on. A minute 12 left to go. Scoreless here in the first period at 189 pounds. Graber, a little bit the smaller. Blaine, I would say what, maybe 4 or 5 inches smaller than Shrewsbury?
Yeah, maybe 4 inches. Actually, the 160-pounder just walked by, and I seen the kid from Avon. I can't recall his name right now. But
Atwood?
Was it Atwood? I don't remember, but he got taken off on a stretcher earlier, and he is walking, but he has a neck brace on. So Jones Avon.
Jones, thank you, yes. 40 seconds left to go here, 189 pounds. Shrewsbury has a front headlock, trying to work it down. Graber doing a good job of standing on his feet there. Shrewsbury brings him down to the mat. Working to the side, 25 seconds left. Keeps his head up. And now Graber is back to his feet. Not a lot of movement on their feet, but I'll tell you what, Blaine, they're expending a lot of energy. Or Graber, rather, you know. Shrewsbury having to carry all 189 pounds, plus now probably at this point, of Shrewsbury. That's going to be taxing if he stays under there very long.
Oh, yeah, whenever you have your head down and getting a lot of pressure on you, you're going to wear your own self out.
So with 5 seconds left to go, this match, this period rather, is going to end scoreless here at 189 pounds. And the flip is going to be won by Shrewsbury.
Excuse me,
Graber. I knew I was going to do that. I looked at the red wrestler and who happens to have the green wristband, leg band rather. Well, Graber gets choice. He's going to defer. Shrewsbury goes ahead and chooses down. Gets set. Graber on the left side at the whistle. Shrewsbury stands right up very quickly. Tries to kick the leg back, but Graber holds on very good, keeps his hips under him. Shrewsbury reaches behind to the thigh, breaks his hips down to the mat, and now looks to go around and step around behind. He hooks
the ankle. Hook.
And a lot of people, you know, you think you hook the ankle, that constitutes control, but Graber does a good job of keeping the leg. Now the control is broken. Now Shrewsbury gets around behind. And now he has awarded his two. So that's going to be the first points of this match. Crown point. Shrewsbury goes up on a 2-0 score. On top now, keeping hips tight. A minute 25 left to go here. 189 pounds. And, you know, Shrewsbury not even putting a lot of weight on. I was just going to ask, Glenn, what does Graber need to do? What is he waiting for?
He has to work up somehow. He's kind of just got his head on the mat. Shrewsbury's got all of his weight on him, but at least he has his chest down on him.
Right, it's more on his back, though, than on his hips.
Yeah, he's not even trying to come up. His head's on the mat.
And that may be a sucker tactic on the part of Shrewsbury, just inviting him to stand up, and maybe he hits a tilt, or there he goes, a cross face into a cradle. So maybe Graber knows something we don't know. Maybe did his scouting a little bit better.
But we got stalling on Shrewsbury here.
And so with 43 seconds left to go here in the second period, in this, the championship match at 189 pounds. We will restart. Graber gets ready. Shrewsbury comes on the left side. Off the whistle, Graber's up, and there he's out. So Graber is only trailing by 2-1. 35 seconds left to go. Guys just working towards the center, still on their feet. Collar tie. Shrewsbury brings it down into a Russian tie. Getting close to the edge now, and they're going to go ahead and restart. Shrewsbury, Blaine, I would say, for it only being 2-1, you know, he's controlled most of this match, but only has a 2-1 lead.
Yes, he has. He has actually just spun behind.
And just as I say that, Graber comes in on an ill-advised shot with his head down. Shrewsbury, rather, snaps down and goes around and gets his two. So as time runs out there, build his lead. You know, those are the points, Blaine, that I think probably hurt most in matches like this.
Yeah, right at the end of the period.
Take a bad shot, and, you get a reversal. And a lot of these guys, though, you know, coming from behind, this is unfamiliar territory for them. You know, both these guys
being undefeated. Yep.
You know, you don't know what to do, you know, or you forget what it's like to be on the other end of things. So taking an ill-advised shot, and, you know, you find yourself down even further. So Graber chooses down to start the third period. 10 seconds gone. Shrewsbury again on the toes, staying on top, keeping good top pressure. Shrewsbury leading 4-1. But, you know, Shrewsbury, nothing really scientific here, Blaine, but, you know, he's keeping good position, keeping pressure down.
He's got an ankle hooked. He's running a little spiral here. Trying to run, kind of circling here, trying to break him back down.
Yeah, he's got that ankle ace, you know, trying to keep the weight down, but, you know, it may not look like they're doing a lot, Blaine, but, you know, as you can attest to, you're expending a tremendous amount of energy just trying to keep the man down, to keep him pressure, you know, shifting the pressure on top. There's a lot that goes on that, you know, looks like just laying around.
And they're stalling again on Shrewsbury.
And that's the official could go ahead and give another stalling call to Shrewsbury, but, you know, I would argue, Blaine, that Shrewsbury may not be doing anything, but nor is Graber. Yeah, to constitute that stalling call, I could see him moving around and really forcing the issue, but I don't know if I agree with that call, but you know what? It's not my prerogative, and I have
one escape for Graber, and we're down to a 4-3 match now.
Exactly.
We got 1 minute remaining in the third period of the 189-pound match.
And there Graber is on a shot. Shrewsbury snaps him down, looking for a little knee bump. But Graber, you know, unlike as we saw before, not willing to waste the time, looking to get right in and force the issue. He knows he already has a stalling call on Shrewsbury, and Shrewsbury is looking to come around, almost gets around behind, but Graber backs out, gets to his feet. 35 seconds left to go here in the third period. 189 pounds. Crown points. Crown points, Marcus Shrewsbury up on Northridge's Drew Graber. Again, a battle of unbeatens. Graber takes a shot close to the edge, and they're going to go ahead and go out of bounds. 24 seconds left to go, Blaine.
Tell you what, Shrewsbury can't go defense mode here. He's already had two stalling calls on him. He can't give up another point here.
No, and Shrewsbury has done the smart thing by working into Graber. And Graber there, again, takes pretty much a head-on shot. And, you know, just like we tell JV kids, Blaine, you're not going to take a lot of people down with head-on shots.
We're in a front headlock here. Shrewsbury looks to be content, just hanging on to it, getting his state title as he just gets a takedown, and he wins it 6-3. Crown Point gets another state champion.
And again, Blaine, not pretty, but you know what? He got the job done, and he came, and sure, he accomplished his goal for today.
And the state champion at 189 pounds, Crown Point's Marcus Shrewsbury.
And Shrewsbury, obviously excited as he goes over, going to go ahead and give an embrace to his coach. Graber, obviously dejected, and rightly so. But I tell you what, these guys, nothing to scoff at being, you know, finalists at one loss and, you know, undefeated. So let's go ahead and run down the 171-pound placers.
In eighth place was Trey Schultz, 34-5, senior from Adams Central. Seventh place was Joe Smith, 18-9, senior from Mishawaka. Sixth was Tanner Wedding, a 38-3 senior from Evansville Memorial. Fifth was Braden Atwood, 50-1 junior from Delphi.
In fourth place was South Bend Riley's Huey Hudson. Hudson finished at 37-8 in his senior season. He was bested in third place by Center Grove Shelby Maps. Maps, also a senior, finishes his career with a 44-4 season. In second place was senior Bryce Grimes from Lawrence North, who finished with a 46-2 record. And your champion, the second one for Union County, was Michael Duckworth, who was a junior and finishes with a 48-1 record.
For 171 this year from Union County High School, a great junior, 48-1 on the season.
And here we go, Blaine. This is going to move us into a, I would say, unlikely matchup here between senior Billy Baker from Belmont. Baker comes in sporting a spotless record. He is going to be going against Mishawaka's Christian Lentz. Lentz, a 41-3 junior, got by Warren Central's Gabriel Berry in the semifinals. Berry was undefeated, so an upset there for Mishawaka's Lentz. Now, I'm sure to a lot of people up north in Mishawaka, that was an upset, but, you know, on paper you look at it, a little bit of an upset there.
And these two have met twice this year, with Baker winning both matches.
Billy is from, as we said before, Belmont. He is coached by Brent Ferrote. He's got a career record of 126-17 with 49 falls, a three-time sectional champ, three-time regional champ, one-time Summit State champ. This is his second state time qualifying for state, and looking to be at the top of the heat today. As we're underway here, 30 seconds gone here in the first period. Both guys here just really working in, feeling each other out, coming in, working the upper body stuff. Baker has an underhook as they go out of bounds. And Lentz is coached by Derek Snyder. He is a junior, as we said, it was 44-3 on the year, a one-time sectional, regional, and semi-state champ. But also both these guys, great sports in multiple sports. You know, Lentz, a all-state football player, and Billy Baker, all-state baseball player. So with a minute gone here, these two guys still jacking for position. They're going to go ahead and go out of bounds again and get reset. So 50 seconds left here to go. Billy working on a rush and tie, working towards the edge of the mat. Can't get anything. And Blaine, these guys wrestled early on in the year this year, didn't they? How'd that go over?
Looks like the last meeting was a win by Baker 10-6. In the meeting before that, looks like it might have been a fall.
So like as we said before, Blaine, and at the 119-pound class, you know, a lot of times you see a guy multiple times, it gets harder and harder to beat him. Let's see if that will be the case in this one. 30 seconds to go here at 215 pounds. Oh, and a great shot by Lentz right on Baker. A nice outside single, but couldn't finish it up, pick it up and finish it, rather. And they're going to go ahead and go out of bounds and get reset. This Belmont's only state qualifier that made it, or excuse me, state qualifier to make it through to the second day. So a rarity for them, but you know what? You take them any way you can get them, Blaine.
We're ending the first period here, 4 seconds remaining. Looks like we're going to be scoreless, 0-0 tie. And Baker wins the toss and chooses bottom.
And again, Blaine, you know, a savvy move on his part. Looking to score the first point, you know. In my mind, that's a no-brain move, and you see some guys that defer that choice. I just don't see how you can make that choice. But anyway, Baker's going to go ahead and choose down. Looks to stand up, and man, Lentz is doing a great job of keeping the pressure down with that spiral ride. Goes going to go ahead and step over and lace the near side ankle. But Baker, right back up. Wow, Lentz, you know, he pulls him through with the, spins him down to the mat, rolls through and comes back on top. Baker, though, still has his base. Hits a nut. Oh, boy.
Almost right to his back. Baker hits a...
He had a nice, I don't know, he caught the leg of Lentz, threw it back, turned back into him, and as he was turning back into him, Lentz was on his hip and almost went to his back. So an escape for Baker there. A minute 30 left to go here in this second period for Baker. He's up 1-0. And Lentz now looking for another shot out on that outside single. Blaney's hitting that outside single pretty well. You think he's going to be able to hit it and finish with it?
Maybe more toward the end of the match. Looks like Lentz almost looks like he's starting to breathe a little harder.
Yeah, and Baker, something I noticed with Baker last week at the Fort Wayne Semi-State, his conditioning was fabulous. He had Aris Allen, you know, another big beefy guy who ended up taking fifth here today, was breathing pretty heavily, and Baker looked like he was in, you know, fine shape. As they go out of bounds again, a minute 4 left. Baker still up 1-0. Christian Lentz now with double wrist control. Baker looking to work out and fight out. 2-on-1 wrist control. Baker with a collar tie, still hand fighting. And a lot of it, Blaine, you know, as you get up, a lot of it's all about the setups, especially with the bigger guys. You know, one mistake up here. We say with the little guys, but there's more of a chance for a scramble, I guess. And you know, with this one, it could be lights out with a slip-up.
Yeah, points come to a premium when you get to the bigger guys.
And there we go. Baker did
a
great job.
One point, Baker.
Did a great job of shucking Lentz right by. Baker tries to come up and... score the 2, and Lentz runs right out of bounds. He gets hit with a technical violation. Fleeing the mat is the call, and that's going to move Baker's lead to 2-0 with 30 seconds left to go. Baker here now, still not resting on his laurels, as it were, as he's getting right after Lentz.
And there's another little pass there, elbow pass type thing. Baker gets behind him, but Lynn steps out of bounds.
And you can hear the Belmont faithful close to us here. They don't think they like the call, but that's the thing that impresses me about Billy Baker. He's such an intelligent wrestler, Blaine. You know, he knows his position on the mat. He knows what the score is, but he also knows when he has the lead, he's still attacking with it.
And in the second period here with a 2-0 score for Billy Baker. Looks like Lentz is going to take the bottom.
And as this match draws, that period draws to the close, rather, Blaine. Looks like they're both sucking a little air now. Look at Billy.
Well, they've been beating on each other's head here for the last two periods. The only two periods.
For the last 2 minutes. And I'll tell you what, that took a little bit out of both of them, though. But I still think Baker is a little bit the better as far as conditioning-wise. And here we go. Lentz stands up, is trying to keep it in bounds, turns away. Baker's going to go ahead and give him one. So Lentz, as much as you know, it may seem like he was getting beat on there, he's only down 1 point, Blaine.
Yep, one takedown. One takedown away.
And that's the thing, Blaine. If you can't turn guys or you can't take guys down at will here at the state finals, which not a lot of guys can, you know, you're opening yourself up to get bit there right at the end. But Baker taking it to Lentz still. 1:30 left to go here in this 215-pound state final match. Lentz shoots. Baker comes into a front headlock. There Baker shucks him down next to the edge of the mat. And again, Baker trying to spin around and get his two, but back to their feet. And I'll tell you what, Blaine, you know, Baker likes to wrestle towards the edge of the mat there, but a couple times here it has not served him well.
No, actually, there he's missed out on two takedown attempts because they were on the outer edge. He was lucky enough to get 1 point for fleeing the mat.
And there's that outside single that we were talking about earlier. Lentz tried to hit it again, got in on it, but unable to finish. So with 50 seconds left to go here, the Belmont faithful are starting to come alive for Baker. Let's go Billy chant going on back here. And I'm sure the Mishawaka crowd won't get bested here as they're starting to get into it a little bit. So their respective teams trying to will them to victory here with 35 seconds left to go. Lentz just looks like he may be too far gone, Blaine.
He's gasping for air.
But that's the thing, Blaine. You know, a lot of these guys don't get pushed that hard in the room, and that I'm sure that's not the case.
There's
in the
a little
throw Mishawaka
by
room.
Baker gets another takedown.
You know, and that's part of the fatigue factor right there. That's a shot that normally I don't think Lentz takes, Blaine, but has his elbows out, and Baker just shoves him to the side. And you can see Coach Farote there for Belmont senses victory. And he is pumped, as well he should be. 5 seconds left to go. And your winner, 4-1, is going to be Billy Baker from Belmont. He remains unbeaten on the year, moving to a perfect 42-0 in this, his senior season.
Unbeaten state champion, Belmont's Billy Baker.
And I'll tell you what, Blaine, the Baker boys just keep coming.
There's more of them in the pile.
And I'll
there's
tell you what.
There's a lot more of them coming.
Oh, and there's Billy Baker just jumps
DJ
up.
DJ Perreault catches him mid-air.
Perreault probably all about 130 or 40 dripping wet. Just takes, you know, Billy Baker, but you know what, more than happy to do so. Congratulations go out to Billy Baker and all the Belmont wrestling family as we're going to go ahead and run down the 189-pound place finishers.
In eighth place was Randy Kaufman, a 36-9 senior from Rensselaer Central. Seventh place was Michael Johnson Jones, a 44-5 junior from Warren Central. Sixth was Andrew Leach, 34-6 senior from Avon. Fifth, Nick Hodges, a 31-3 senior from Southmont.
And in fourth place is going to be East Central's Andrew Dalton. Dalton, the senior, ends his season and his career with a 46-3 record. Third place goes to Indian Creek's Aaron Stevenson. Stevenson, only a sophomore, is 45-1. Second place goes to Northridge senior Drew Graber. Graber, 43-1 on the year. And the champion at 189 pounds with a perfect 42-0 record is senior Marcus Shrewsbury from Crown Point High School. And Blaine,
this is
we find ourselves here at the end. And normally this place starts thinning out a little bit as you get towards the heavyweights.
It's thinned out barely.
I don't think many people, if any, have moved And I think they haven't moved because of one man, and I'm going to say man because right now up for Winchester is undefeated senior Adam Chaffant. And what can you say, Blaine?
He's a specimen. But not to be outdone, Alex White is sporting a 53-1 record for Mount Vernon, and he is no slouch at all.
So let's give the rundown here on White and Chaffant. Mount Vernon, the Wildcats, Alexander White, a senior, 53-1 on the year. As we said before, Blaine, he wrestles just like a 71-pounder. I mean, these guys both wrestle very light for their weight. But off the whistle, dear Lord, Chaffant comes right in, underhooks White,
just
lifts him like he's a rag doll. That was 285 pounds, Blaine, going up and down with ease. And something you keep pointing out here, White, 53-1, has never won a sectional, but finds himself underneath the lights here.
At the guy we've been talking about, Adam Chaffant, the Golden Falcons of Winchester. He is coached by Brandon Mock. He's a senior. He is 38-0 with a career record of 145-19. He is the returning runner-up, looking for his first title.
And he is also in total control of Alexander White of Mount Vernon. White looks like he didn't know what hit him to start off with. Look for him to settle down a bit. 40 seconds gone. As they went out of bounds, they go ahead and restart. Chaffant just comes in with a tight waist and just tries, you know, laces the legs there and just trying to turn White over. I'm sorry, I can't help but almost giggle talking about this kid, Blaine, because I've never seen a kid who's put together as big as Chaffant.
The only one you could compare to is Dexter Larimore of Maryville.
And Dexter was, I would say, more built in the legs. I don't think I've seen bigger legs than anybody than Larimore. I think upper body-wise, it's hands down Chaffant.
Oh, yeah, his arms are almost as big as White's thighs.
He's probably got 20-inch arms, folks. I mean, if you can't, get on IHSAASports.org and check this kid out, because to see him on there is one thing, but to see him in person is truly impressive, as he's going to go ahead. White, however, coming up looking for a single, or excuse me, looking for a stand-up, rather. Chaffant comes for the legs, returns to the mat. They're going to head out of bounds. 28 seconds left to go. Chaffant of Winchester up 2-0 over Mount Vernon's Alexander White.
We keep talking about Chaffant. We need to talk about White here. He's no slouch. There's only one loss on his record. I'm going to guess that came from sectionals.
And again, I don't want to take anything away from White, because White's only loss on the year, as we said, came in the sectional championship. I don't think that he's in danger of getting embarrassed. I don't want to imply that, but I'm just awestruck myself watching Chaffant work, because he's so strong. And you know, that's undeniable.
The score's only 2-0 here. White is definitely in this match. I mean, you can't ever count out some of this.
Oh, no.
3-1.
And especially with the wrestling savvy of Alexander Wright. As we said before, wrestles like a much smaller wrestler than what he is. I mean, very good on his feet, very, very capable wrestler, and I look for him to make this a battle. I look for this one to go the distance. Five seconds gone here in the second period. Alexander White still down. Chaffant now has an arm bar up on the back, sits up on it, looking to come underneath it. Runs the chicken wing, trying to keep it legal. The official right on top of it, and he's going to stop him for potentially dangerous. And again, the stats just keep coming here. Chaffant, in his senior season here, out of 38 matches, 31 of them have been by fall. Chaffant gets all set. We're going to have a caution. I don't know what the official saw. Looks like he may have maybe saw an improper starting position. Either way, he's back on. 20 seconds gone here. Chaffant looks like he's looking for pin number 100. You know, he's got 31 this season, 99 in his career, Blaine. If he gets one here, he'll join the Century Club.
That's a nice club to join there. There's not too many. Well, there is quite a few, but 100's a pretty significant number.
I don't know. There's probably maybe, you know, 20 kids, 25 guys in the, you know, the history of Indiana wrestling that can say they have 100 or 100-plus pinfalls there. As we scurry for our Matt Burns book, we could get the exact number here, but Chaffant on top, still working through the crotch here. A minute gone here in the second period at the 285-pound weight class. Siobhan just comes through the crotch and tries to lift it. And I'll tell you what, the strength is evident there, Blaine, that you don't see a lot of heavyweights just try and come up through the crotch and lift another guy over the top. You see some 3-pounders and some 12-pounders getting away with it. Not at this weight.
No, not this weight. But it looks like most of White's body weight's up top, but he only looks maybe 240, 250. There's an escape for White.
And I'll tell you what, White's done a good job of keeping this thing close. You know, Chiffon's been pretty much total control, but 2-1 is a score. That's what it's all about here. Wrestling smart, being able to neutralize his speed with his wrestling savvy.
Leg by White.
And the official is not blowing the whistle. Chiffon thinks the official is blowing the whistle. White jumps from behind, gets around behind him, and there's no control yet. And I think Chiffon might have just got upset. But Blaine, Chiffon thinks the match has been stopped and just turns his back and
walks
back
to the center.
And I almost think the official has an obligation to stop the match there to keep somebody from getting hurt.
White was almost confused, and it's like he's trying to sneak up, or I don't know.
Right, and that's why I say, you know, somebody could have got hurt in that position there. But needless to say, we're going to go into the third period 2-1 as Adam Chiffon finds himself in unfamiliar territory, stands right up, going to go ahead and get the reversal. Chiffon, though, not prone, you know, not impenetrable here in the finals last week. In the semi-state, was thrown right off the mat into a headlock. You know, however, he was able to get out and win the match. He had a close scare there, Blaine.
We got a 3-1 score here with a minute 35 remaining.
So, Chiffon, White, on their feet. Jockey for position. Looks like Chiffon's looking for a bit of a duck under there. Works for his underhook. Still pummeling inside for control. And Chiffon, looks like he's getting a little tired, Blaine. The knees are locking out. It looks though as if he's looking to hold on for this one.
He's still working here. I mean, he's throwing his, trying to get inside control there.
But I think if White's able to get in a good shot as he was earlier on in the second period, he may be able to steal one here and get a takedown and tie this thing up here. 55 seconds left to go here. 3-1 is the score and the lead for Winchester's Adam Chiffon. Nice job. Straight double leg by Chiffon. Able to get the takedown. And you can see a smile creep across Chiffon's face as they went out of bounds, Blaine.
We still got 39 seconds here, and Chiffon's offering a hand to help pick Alex White up.
Yeah, White, you know, he goes out, and you can tell his mind. He hustles back there to get set. It's not over in his mind, and you can tell that. White came here to win, and he's not going to give up, and he's going to wrestle the whole 6 minutes. And you got to admire that, Blaine. You know, you see some guys kind of pack it in, but... White's got a battle to the death here. Go out in a blaze of glory, I believe.
No, I think White's got a few tricks up his sleeves, but he's going to have to get up to be able to pull them.
He just may. He's going to go ahead as the whistle blows. 30 seconds left to go. Going to sit out, get back up to his feet, and Chiffon lifts, returns it back to the mat. They're on the edge of the mat.
Again,
Chiffon must be hearing some, you know, inadvertent whistle from in his head because he let White up
roll
again.
For a throw.
Oh, and as White
goes for
the lateral drop. Chiffon blocks it, and here you go.
Winner, Adam Chiffon.
Let the party begin because Adam Chiffon moves to 39-0, and this is the season.
He's pulling his straps down. His straps are down in the middle of the mat.
Oh, that's at least a penalty point. No, I'm kidding.
That's a team point.
So Chiffon, you look at Chiffon though, the boy is just put together. I think probably the only heavyweight I've ever seen with a six pack besides Maurice Gunn. but the kid is put together, no doubt about it. But all the credit in the world to Alex White because he fought
him
there tooth and nail.
Right to the buzzer.
Still going for it at the end, and you got to applaud that kind of heart. So we're gonna go ahead and run down the 215-pound weight class finishers.
In eighth place was Dylan Green, a 44-5 junior from Kokomo. Seventh place was Antonio Halbert, a 30-13 senior from New Palestine. Sixth place was Adam Howland, 35-6 senior from Brownsburg. And fifth place was Aris Allen, 40-2 senior from Fort Wayne Northside.
In fifth place was Warren Central's Gabriel Berry. Berry, the senior, ends his career with a 45-2 record. He was beat by Lowell's Nathan Cleveland. He finishes with a 37-3 mark for that junior. Second place goes to Mishawaka's Christian Lentz. Lentz, the junior, finishes his junior campaign with 44-4 record, rather, and he was beat by Billy Baker. Baker, the senior, ends his career with a perfect 42-0 record.
We'll be able to get you the 285 results once we get our sheet for Miss Rachel McCarthy. She's been doing an excellent job all weekend here.
She really has been.
Getting us results.
And our 285-pound finishers here in eighth place, Nate Ritchie from Brownsburg. Seventh place, Delphi's Wes Everett. Sixth place, John Glenn's Craig Fitzgerald. Fifth place is Maryville's James Travis. Fourth place goes to Columbus North, Jawan Gill. Third place is Jeffersonville's John Clark. Second place goes to Mount Vernon's Alexander White. And your winner and state champion at 285 pounds, Winchester's Adam Chaffon. Let's go ahead and go back through and recap our state champions. At 103 pounds, it was Union County's Cody Phillips. At 112 pounds, it was Crown Point's Anthony Hawkins beating Indianapolis Roncalli's Justin Kiefer by a 2-1 decision in triple overtime. 119 pounds saw Anderson Highlands get the championship match win in the rubber match against Indianapolis Cathedral's Brandon Wright by a 3-2 triple overtime decision. At 125 pounds, impressively, Crown Point's Jason Surtsis starting his campaign by beating Indianapolis Cathedral's John Gray by a 16-3 major decision. At 130 pounds was Frankie Porras from Hobart beating Pike's DeMarcus Spencer by a 4-1 decision. At 135 pounds, it was East Noble's Taylor March finally getting his state championship by besting Brown County's Michael Ritchie by a 4-3 decision. At 140 pounds, it was Mishawaka's Stephen Sandifer beating Elkhart Memorial's Ryan Stahl by a 6-5 decision. At 145 pounds, it was Culver Academy's first state champion in the form of Daniel Young getting the fall at 5 minutes and 32 seconds over Cathedral's Gavin McGinley. 152 pounds saw Portage's Sean McMurray get an 8-5 decision over Chesterton's Anthony Kiros. And at 160 pounds, it was Martinsville's Briar Runyon remaining undefeated on the season as he beat Pendleton Heights' Matt Todd by 8-3. At 171 pounds, it was Union County's Michael Duckworth beating Lawrence North's Bryce Grimes by a 2-0 decision. And at 189 pounds, it was Crown Point's Marcus Shrewsbury getting the best of Northwest's Drew Graver by a 6-3 decision. 215 pounds saw Belmont's Billy Baker getting the win over, Billy Baker getting the win over Christian Lentz of Mishawaka by a 4-1 decision. And as we just said, at 285 pounds, it was Winchester's Adam Chaffont getting the best of Mount Vernon's Alex White. Congratulations to all of our champions, all of our place finishers, all of our participants here at the state finals. So for myself, David Strack, for Blaine Kolf, we will send it now to some of our underwriters.
Thank you, Nathan Strack. It's Randy mentioning here again on BroadcastSport.net. We're looking here at the, that's bright, at the Mental Attitude Award. And it's going to be, I'm going to say probably Taylor March, if I had to say anybody. Who'd you say, Coach Smith? Taylor March right here? Mental Attitude Award? So we're looking. It's going to go to Well, they're announcing here right in front of us in the middle. If I had to guess, it'd be Taylor March. Who? So it's the Mental Attitude Award. Taylor March of East Noble gets the award, and Sanford's down there carrying him around. Wow, there we go. Taylor March, a good good job, fighting through all the situations he had and really stepping up and winning it. Good job for Taylor March. Congrats to Taylor March. Finally getting a state title. He had two runner-ups. He got third last year, and this year he came through and got his first state title. Congrats to him. Well, we're going to play some commercials here. And we'll be right back.
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser. Are they attorneys? Accountants?
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser. The name seems familiar.
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser.
Maybe you don't recognize us because we don't advertise with a slick lizard, a complaining caveman, or cute cartoons. Have you guessed it yet? We're your local insurance agency serving Michiana for nearly 100 years. We take insurance very seriously and feel our responsibility is to our client. In fact, we take our role as client advocate very seriously, and once you hire us as your insurance agent, we will research markets and annually review your coverage. We're the people next door who are raising families, going to football games, and trying to do the best we can with this current economy, just like you. Whether it's your home, auto, or business you need to protect, we can offer a number of options to fit your needs and lifestyle. Call 233-9443. Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser, here today.
And tomorrow.
For Hill Holiday and Verizon Wireless, this is PRLR Live Read, Tribe 2 with Samsung, Radio 30, Midwest. Code number YVWG-9196-0000. Mixed at Headroom, February 17th, 2009.
Introducing friends and family from Verizon Wireless. Unlimited calling to any 10 numbers, anywhere in America, anytime. Get it with any nationwide family share plan with 1,400 anytime minutes or more. It's the best value in wireless. Switch to America's largest and most reliable wireless network and save up to 50% on our best Samsung phones. Visit any Verizon Wireless communication store, verizonwireless.com, or call 1-877-2-BY-VZW. Activation, early termination, and other fees apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Papeltronics Computers is the place to find great computers, great service, and really great people. Stop by their showroom located at 2116 West Road Avenue in Goshen and see what new home office computing. Their friendly service team is there to help with all of your computer repairs, whether you need a tune-up or a complete format and reinstall. New computers, high-speed DSL, Verizon Air cards, they've got it all. Mapletronics is your hometown store for computers and more. Give them a call at 534-2830 or visit their website at www.mapletronics.com.
Are you wrestling over the thermostat with your family? Are high heating bills pinning you under the covers? Escape the winter blues with the new energy-efficient furnace from Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning. You can't match them when it comes to comfort. Take down this number and call Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning at 574-264-9485 or visit them on County Road 17 east of Elkhart. That's Stahl Heating and Air Conditioning, 574-264-9485.
Hurry into Verizon Wireless by Valentine's Day and get free activation on every line you switch with new two-year agreement per line. That's right. This is your opportunity to get America's most reliable wireless network with free activation. Plus, save big on the latest phones. Switch at any Verizon Wireless communication store, Verizon Wireless at Circuit City, VerizonWireless.com, or call 1-877-2-BY-VZW. Early termination and other fees apply. Free activation after bill credit. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Take your wrestling to the next level. American Elite Wrestling Camps will be at Fairfield High School in Goshen, Indiana, June 22nd to 25th. Learn from Iowa Hawkeye All-American Alex Sirsis and Indiana's own legendary wrestling coach, Fran McCann. Whatever your skill level may be, if yours is to be the best, this camp is for you. Don't miss the chance to learn from some of our nation's greatest. Log on to AmericanEliteWrestling.com for more information and to register for camp. American Elite Wrestling, bringing the best to you.
Wow, we have a lot to do to this place, huh?
Oh, yeah. I've been thinking about this a while. Here's what I want to do. I want to put in a new...
Uh-huh.
And over here, take this out and install one of those...
Yeah. Yeah, which means they'll have to... You know, we may even need a...
Yeah. Plus, we're going to have to get someone in here to...
Sure.
And put in a... Oh, then in the backyard, we should add a...
Well, it's whatever you want, as long as I get my...
Yeah, keep dreaming.
At KeyBank, we know big dreams sometimes have big price tags. So when you're planning, look to Key for help. And with our wide range of home equity loans to choose from, you'll always have a smart way to make those dreams come true. To find out more, stop by any Key Center, call 1-888-KEY-1234, or visit key.com. Subject to credit approval, equal housing lender.
Cassidy, Neisser, and Brasser.